much about
how so easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
Stay off the f***ing set, man. For f***'s sake.
Right, let's go again. Let's not take a f***ing minute. Let's go again!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G.
Your gayness does not define you. Your Mexicanness is what defines you.
I'm Mexican, and I find that offensive.
That's right, Mexico. Or as I like to call it, God's blind spot.
Let's practice a bit. Translate the following sentences into Spanish. Those prostitutes are very expensive.
Esas prostitutas son muy caras.
Do your parents know that you're a homosexual?
¿Saben tus padres que eres homosexual?
Let me see your tits.
Déjame verte las tetas.
Does anybody here speak English?
That's not America. That's not even Mexico.
And now,
get me Steven Spielberg.
He's unavailable.
Then get me his non-union Mexican equivalent.
Our feature presentation.
We are broadcasting live because it is Cinco de Mayo on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah.
Come on down. Join us. Party.
Ay, ay, ay.
Fun. Woo, look at these crowds. Look at these people. Oh, wait. We're not allowed to broadcast live anymore.
Well, we're broadcasting live.
I mean, I guess technically we're broadcasting
here.
Live from the Kevin and Bean Radio studio today.
Yes, so we're just not allowed to leave the premises under any circumstances.
We have an electric collar on, so apparently we're not allowed to get out of the yard anymore. So we'll explain why that isn't happening as it should happen on Cinco de Mayo.
Yes.
Let's face it, it's a big holiday here on the Kevin and Bean Show, but not so much this year. All right, I'm sorry for jabbering so much, Kevin. What did you think of the Cinco de Mayo intro?
Oh, it was great. It's the best. It's the best. I showed up where we were going to have our broadcast, and then it turns out that got canceled. So I decided to come back to the station, I guess.
Mike and I had some money down. We were trying to figure out if there was any way you could cut it closer than you did yesterday. Because yesterday you opened the door during our feature presentation.
Yeah.
We thought maybe he's just going to open the door on presentation today. Maybe that it'll be that close.
He challenges himself that way.
He does. But
instead,
it was
boring for Kevin. Kevin's one of those really, really smart kids who gets bored because he's so smart, so he has to challenge himself in new and exciting ways all the time.
I'll take that. I've never had any kind of an explanation where I'm smart.
That's what it is,
Thank
Kevin.
You, Lisa.
It's just you're so smart.
Too smart.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kevin is like the secret agent, and the bomb's going to go off in 4 minutes, but he's so cool that he waits until a minute and a half before he starts trying to figure out how to disable it.
Just for the fun of it.
Just for the adrenaline.
Yeah.
Have a beer.
Yeah, 4 minutes. I'm not going to waste 4 minutes working on this bomb.
Who needs that kind of time?
Take a nap before I get back. All right. Well, it is Cinco de Mayo. It is Wednesday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Oh, it's going to be a long day if that's going on.
Wow.
Until Mr. Weatherby calls and takes that away, too. 1-800-520-1067. It's time for your telephone calls. I've never, ever, ever been more excited to get to a topic than I am for line one today. So hit it, Steve.
Would love to. Gonna hit it as soon as Psycho Mike gets ready. There we go.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Cheech and Chong are the best buds of comedy, ladies and gentlemen. They are back and funnier than ever with a brand new DVD called Hey, Watch This. That is your prize on the Kevin and Bean Show. All right, let's go to Mike real quick, and then I'll tell you why I've been so excited about this all day long. Hey, Mike, line one, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, my friend?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good, thanks.
What's up?
Yeah, I was calling about the Lakers taking care of business, but almost as important, the giant tatas that are back behind Phil Jackson.
Yellow shirt.
That's the one. I think she should wear a t-shirt that says, I'm back, or it's me, or something that we know it's the same.
Oh, we know it's her.
I figured.
Psycho Mike, you're a frequent Laker goer. What's the deal with this chick?
Right behind, in the camera view that they show Phil Jackson, Lakers coach, there's a girl wearing a yellow shirt. She's a beautiful, what looks to be Latina, with giant cans. I mean, massive cans. And she likes to put them on display. And so every time the camera shows Phil Jackson, right over his shoulder, you just see this beautiful pair of breasts.
And it's a lot because they always put the camera on Phil Jackson. So basically your eyes are drawn onto the boobs.
But when you said, it sounded like you said, Mike, at the beginning of the call that she was back. And that was making me wonder if maybe she used to come to a bunch of games, then she didn't, and now she's back. Or is she new? We don't know who she is. What's the story on her?
I think it's just she was there last year in the playoffs.
Oh,
she
see.
Was.
It was a playoff thing.
Playoffs only, huh?
That's the one, yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know. I got my bosses calling me on the line telling me to get to work right now, but I just had to talk about them tatas.
Listen, that's
all right,
important.
Go get to work. All right, listen, thank you very much for the call, Mike. Here's the deal. I started getting emails and started seeing tweets on her last night during the game. Another Mike wrote in, boobs in yellow shirt behind Phil Jackson, game two, Staples Center. Come on, seriously, check it out.
Yeah.
That's how guys are, by the way. Andrea Siciliano tweeted a new drinking game where you take a drink every time you see her on TV. former sports guy Money of the Kevin and Bean Show, of course, was at the game. He took it upon himself to do a recon mission to get down close to her so he could check those out to see if they were as good in person as they look on TV. I mean, it was a frenzy last night.
Now,
have we started the process of getting her on the show?
We haven't, but that's why I wanted to get right to it first thing, because it, frankly, is the most important thing, and I'll scrub anything else on the schedule today to get to her. But we need to start by getting a Kevin and Bean listener who taped the game last night and has access to a screen cap, because that's step one.
Yeah, if you could do that and email it to us. I have that at home, but I can't get it. But if you could do that, you know, and email it to us, then we could put up a picture, and then we could start the search.
Exactly. So I want that on the website within the next hour, so that we can put that up and start looking for her. Because
I
don't even know if they were playing. I'm not even sure what the event was.
2-0 was the game.
So anyway, so that is your mission, Kevin and Bean listeners. We will find some sort of prize. I'm sure you've got something in the prize closet we can give you to make it worth your time, but we need a screen cap of my future wife, okay? All right, now back to your regularly scheduled programming. Let's try Jose, line 3. Hey, Jose, welcome to the show. What's going on?
Aye, aye, aye. Yeah, actually, so I had to get up 2 hours early for work today, and thanks to Kevin, his Kesha song woke me up about 2 hours earlier than that.
What?
Yeah, I don't know. The song was stuck in my head, and for some reason, it's the first thing I heard when I woke up about 4 hours early.
Oh,
and
that hurts.
The song was just playing over and over in my head, and I did not.
What a great way to wake up, huh?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Now, did you just think of the song, or did you have the disturbing visuals to go along with it?
Disturbing visuals and all.
Oh, that's bad.
You mean I was sexy. I was dead sexy.
Hey, dude, you were every bit as sexy as Kesha.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Not saying much. Yeah, Mike's looking for the song, but he can't find it.
Yeah,
oddly enough.
That's a theme today.
I'm sorry about that. I apologize. I don't want that. I don't want any of that stuck in your head. The song.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I could forgive it, but luckily I was able to wash it away with some Justin Bieber.
Yes.
Okay. Good. Now you feel better. Thanks very much. It is funny, those earworms, as they call them, those songs that you get stuck in your head and you can't do anything about. That often happens, where you're so annoyed all day long, you're thinking of a song, and then you wake up, and then without even trying, automatically it's back in your brain. You're like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
Why didn't I restart, you know, my brain while I was sleeping?
But that happens to me. If I were asleep for a week, I would wake back up with the same thing in my head. It stays there until it's replaced by something else.
All right, we got an update. Let's go immediately to line 2. We've got some progress on the girl in the yellow shirt at the Laker game last night.
Update. Hello, John. Ron.
Ron.
Yeah,
hey, Ron. What's up? What do you got?
Well, I'm actually a supervisor at Staples Center. I run the main concourse, about the first 20 rows.
Yes.
So the girl is actually a girlfriend of one of the strength and conditioning coaches for the Lakers.
All right. No kidding. Wow.
I see.
Do you know her name?
I don't know her name offhand, but, you know, like, I say hi to her once in a while when she's at the games and, you know, because she comes into certain aisles where I'm working at. So I always say hello to her.
Is she the reason you keep that job?
That's probably one of the reasons, but there's five others just like that I keep my job.
Nice.
I got you. All right. We need to get a picture of her, Ron. You got any clues on where we could find something like that?
You want a picture of her?
Yeah. We do.
Well, I'll tell you right after the next home game, I can definitely get you one.
All right. Well, we need that, but we also need you to talk to her. We need to make contact with her. We need to get her on the show. And if you have access... For the next home game.
I run the first 20 rows, so
all right.
She has to come through me in order to get down to her seat.
Yeah. Okay. All right. You're our man. We're deputizing you for the next home game. All right, dude?
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. All right. Well, I feel like we've been on the air 10 minutes. We've already made some progress toward making America a better place.
Yeah, I'm proud of you guys.
We really do use the position that we have for good.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And that's what I like about us the most. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
I'm lost. What do you mean?
Let's talk about Lost, shall we? Lost is great.
Go f***
yourself.
Bean. Hater.
Bean.
I'm not a hater.
Bean's a hater.
I'm not a hater.
Oh, you're a hater.
I would have to argue that I have more consistently watched Lost than you have since that show's been
on the air.
That
could be, but...
I've never missed an episode.
This season, have you done anything but hate?
Yeah. The season that where it fell off a cliff, yeah. I have not enjoyed it. That's
you're
true.
A hater.
I have not enjoyed this season much.
Well, you're wrong.
And we're getting very close to the end, thank God.
How many are left? Three?
I think three. Yeah.
Including a two-hour finale where they're going to open up a bunch more questions and then leave us hanging?
Exactly.
I'm sure they'll introduce a ton of new characters, yes.
Yeah, I think it's been great. And I don't understand it a lot. You know, I'm like a little kid looking at a shiny thing. I go, I like that. I don't know what it is, but I like it. But we're going to take some phone calls about Lost because it does seem like it's more and more confusing and they're getting tied in all kinds of different ways and the two realities going on. It could confuse the casual viewer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Bean, wrong as he is, thinks it's been a terrible season. So we'll talk about that. We also have Petros Papadakis coming in the studio.
Oh, I bet Petros knows the girl.
He could. That's a good point. We'll have to ask him about that. We're going to tell you why we're not allowed to do a Cinco de Mayo show.
Yeah.
Because today's the 5th, and that's usually when it happens.
Yeah, we should be somewhere.
In general, they do it on the 5th. And,
this would be the most appropriate day to do a Cinco de Mayo show.
Right, and we can't. We've been banned from Cinco de Mayo because of, St. Patrick's Day, to be honest.
More to the point.
Yeah. So we'll tell you about that. We will tell you about a German man that married a cat. Huh. He married his cat.
That's a commitment I wouldn't have gone to.
Right. And Bean refuses to believe that there's some consummation of that marriage going on.
Oh.
I mean, really? I think it could just be love. That's all. It doesn't have to be sex. You have to dirty it up.
I'm not dirtying anything up. When you get marriage, sex is a beautiful thing.
Well, not between a man and his feline.
It's happening. You know it. So happening. We also have the editor of Spin Magazine. They have a 25th anniversary, and they have a bunch of lists in it, like the 125 most influential albums.
Oh, all right.
Of all time. So we will talk to him about that. And we've got Dana White from UFC.
Yeah.
Talking about UFC 113. So that's coming up as well this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat.
Happy Cinco de Mayo, Ralph Garman.
Ha-ha.
Quite a party we got going on here, huh?
Yee-haw.
Ain't no party like a Cinco de Mayo party. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I've changed the name of this segment.
Changed the name of the Showbiz Beat?
Yes.
Okay.
It's now known as El Showbiz Beat.
El Showbiz Beat.
Just for today?
What does that mean?
Not just for today. No, to show my solidarity with my Latino brethren.
El Showbiz Beat.
El Showbiz Beat. Okay. I'm just following the cue of the Phoenix Suns basketball team.
Oh, Los Suns?
Which will be wearing the Los Suns jerseys to show their support and to beg Latinos not to boycott them.
Please don't hate us.
Please don't hate us. We're on your side, guys. Woo! Bouncy, bouncy, bouncy. Look at us.
We didn't make the law.
We're black, but we love you. Los Suns. What a shallow gesture that is. Yeah, well, no, it's okay then. All right, we're good. Oh, you're Los Suns? All right, never mind.
Oh, all right.
Forget that whole legislation thing. Los Suns. Happy Cinco de Mayo. Excuse my voice.
What happened?
Oh, now it's your turn.
I spent the better part of yesterday afternoon...
In Vaseline Alley?
In Vaseline Alley, yes.
Okay.
No, over at the Family Guy.
Ah.
First time back there in a long time because of the stuff that's going on with my kids and everything. They were very kind and kept pushing back my recording date because, I was going through whatever. And
Ralph does a bunch of voices for Family Guy, for those of you who don't know.
Yeah, and so I finally got cast in my first, guest starring role where I play a character that is integral to the plot throughout the whole episode.
No kidding.
Yeah. And so I was very excited to do it, but because of the situation with my son and daughter, it was just, they kept, kindly pushing it back, but they had to do it. It was like time crunch time.
Right.
It was time to record it. So I went in yesterday afternoon, and my character pretty much just screams for a half an hour.
Fantastic.
Which was hilarious, but I couldn't really speak when it was all said and done.
Yeah.
Boy, it was certainly well cast also.
How dare you! What is that supposed to mean?
Much of a stretch.
See?
So I am a little groggy, but I'm hoping I'll warm up.
We'll see that in 6 months?
2.5 years, probably. That's when it rolls around. It does take them a long time to animate those things, and usually I'm assuming
Koreans.
This one will show up next season. But I'm proud to say, I think it may be the most offensive Family Guy ever.
That's saying something.
I predict this will cause a maelstrom of protest and upset.
All right.
That means a lot, Kevin.
Maelstrom? Yeah.
Yeah.
I already wrote that down.
And we'll talk more about it when the episode airs, but let's give you an idea. I play the abusive boyfriend of Quagmire's sister.
Oh, no.
So imagine the humor they're going to mine from,
from
domestic abuse.
Nothing funnier. Yeah.
And yet, it manages to be hilarious because they're Family Guy and they're better than us.
They can pull it off.
So we'll talk more about that then. Let's talk about other showbiz news, shall we? Corey Haim. Our bad, man.
I'm sorry?
Our bad.
Why?
Because we made fun of his drug abuse and his overdose when he died.
Right.
And the coroner's report came out yesterday. And apparently, his death wasn't due to drug problems.
It wasn't?
What?
No. He died from a condition called diffuse alveolar damage.
Which means taking too many drugs?
No, it means respiratory distress in combination with difficulty for blood to flow through the heart because of thickened muscle, arteriosclerosis of the muscle of the heart.
Really?
So it was a medical condition, a respiratory problem combined with bad blood flow in the heart that was due to a muscular problem in the heart that caused his death.
And it wasn't exacerbated by drugs?
No, I don't know. I don't know whether his drugs played a part in his condition, but they said it wasn't an overdose. It wasn't from the drugs. It was from an actual medical condition that caused his death.
Wow.
So our bad, Corey.
Wow.
Michael Douglas, superstar actor. Of course, he's going to be reprising his role as Gordon Gekko in Wall Street 2. It's coming out soon with Shia LaBeouf. Has a great attitude about his son Cameron's 5-year prison sentence. You know, his son went away for drug charges. And he had a bad drug problem.
Yeah.
And so Michael says, although it's sad, he says he's glad his son is going away. Because the hard time will probably save his life, he hopes. He said if he had stayed on the course that he was on, he probably would have died or been killed in some drug deal gone bad.
Wow.
Right.
He said, but actually Cameron's spirits are high, and he says this is a chance for him to start a new life. In fact, the family is thrilled after they met his new girlfriend, Hank, there in prison.
Is that right?
Yeah. So apparently he's got a brand new life, which is great.
Excellent! You are kind of forced into cold turkey rehab when they send you away to prison,
I guess.
I mean, there's an upside there.
Don't let it fool you.
Yeah. You can get it.
I've had guys I know who work in the penal system say that drugs are, if you know who to go to, drugs are as easily available inside as they are outside. Sometimes more so. So, okay. That's sad news. Michael Jackson's dad, Joe.
Dead?
No.
Aww.
He is, he's ticked off.
I hate that guy.
He is not too pleased that Dr. Arnold Klein confirmed the fact that his son, Michael, had a passionate affair with a guy named Jason Pfeiffer. Joe Jackson tells TMZ.com, the story just isn't true. And to make such statements about his son, Michael, is simply shameful. He said, if Michael was alive today, I would beat him with a belt, he said.
Aww.
No, that's not true. He didn't say that, but he was thinking it. You guys were talking about boobs at the Lakers game.
Yes.
Right behind Phil Jackson.
Boobs in the news today. Kate Hudson apparently showing off her new set of girls.
Fantastic.
All right.
She's got some implants. Oh, Us Weekly reports she showed up at an event this week with her cleavage on display, and apparently they look pretty nice.
What I like about girls who get boob implants is that they cannot wait to show them off.
It's like
true.
A new handbag.
Really is.
It's, look at my accessories.
I get all new shirts that are low cut, everything. They really, really just love it.
Have you seen Kate Hudson?
No,
I have not. No.
Smallest, if she did get a boob job, smallest implants ever.
Well, she's a tiny, tiny girl.
One cc is
it's
about
not
what they
one
put in.
One cc.
It might as well have been. Look, so let me just put it this way: she needs a boob job.
You don't need when you get a boob job to get massive cans.
No, I'm not. You can barely tell. You AB her, and she may have gone from A to a B. Maybe, yeah.
Well, maybe that's the move she wanted to make.
I guess that's all she wanted, but I'm offended. Good enough for Bean.
Bean wants that size N girl who's trapped in her bed by her breasts.
No, that's what Bean wants. But at least if you're going to get a boob job, it should look like you got a boob job.
How ticked off is Alex Rodriguez right now?
That's right.
What, now? Now, after we break up? He's dating Cameron Diaz.
Oh, wow.
So he's not moving up in the boob department.
No, he's really not.
Maybe that's his type. Down in the face department.
Maybe that's his type.
Slender and boobas? Apparently, Alex and Cameron were seen out and about the other night in New York City, hooking up with Kate Winslet at a date. If you're with Cameron Diaz and you're sitting across the table from Kate Winslet, don't you just stick yourself in the eye with a fork?
Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
So, the hot new relationship. We got to do bizarre fears again, I think.
All right.
From time to time, we'll open up the phone lines and take calls from listeners with their bizarre fears. Because this one, I've never heard of before.
And they're endless. We could do that for days straight.
You'd be surprised what people are afraid of. Australian singer, pop star, Kylie Minogue has a deathly fear of clothes hangers.
What?
Clothes hangers.
How are you?
She has an aversion to clothes hangers. They freak her out. She has a fear of clothes hangers.
So what does she do with her clothes? Just pile them on the floor?
She has an extra room in her house where all of her clothes are laid out.
I was joking.
No, but you're right. Laid out on furniture, on the floor, everywhere. They just laid, and she goes in and looks around and then picks her clothes that way because she can't find a good way to use a closet because she has no hangers. Fear.
Okay.
Fear of hangers.
That's weird. There's no way you can try to figure that out. Maybe sometime she was had a bad experience with. You can't, like, even make sense of that.
She wasn't frightened as a child by a hanger.
There was this one time she tried to get her blouse
hanger
off and she
couldn't.
Hanger
pulled a knife on me once. I was walking, minding my own business, walking in a dark alley. Hanger jumped out.
That is weird.
Yeah. Congratulations to our buddy William Shatner. They've just done a list of some of the richest men in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. When it comes to endorsement deals, and our buddy Shatner is right at the top. He is one of the richest guys in the business.
How about that? Just for Priceline? Or
yeah, what? Priceline.com. His deal with Priceline.com is worth over $200 million.
Oh, my God!
In,
wow!
In cash
and
stock.
Oh, he got a piece of it. That's
right. In cash and stock.
Wow.
And ownership. He signed on early with that burgeoning company, and as it has expanded and blown up, so has his worth.
How about that?
So congratulations. It was a great story in MSNBC about how much money he's making from there.
And that's a great fit because I think he is a guy who deserves a lot of the credit for how successful they've been because those commercials have been so consistently funny over
there. Priceline Negotiator! Love those commercials.
Did he have a comment, Bill Shatner?
I am so rich. I feed my horses money. Today's celebrity birthdays... Lance Henriksen from Aliens and Millennium, the TV show Millennium. Remember
he's got
that
the voice of God.
He does.
I love that show, Millennium.
Talented
good.
Guy. 70 years old today. Actor and comedian, legendary Monty Python member Michael Palin is 67 years old today. Actor John Rhys-Davies is 66 as well. Tina Yothers, who was on Family Ties, is 37. Singer Chris Brown turns 21 years old today. Singer Adele is 22. And Danielle Fishel, speaking of boobs, was on Boy Meets World, currently hosts The Dish over there on the Style Network.
She's funny.
She is very funny, and that show is really good. It's basically The Soup over on Style Network, but she does a great job with it.
She's very funny with
it. She is 29 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Did somebody order Mexican?
Oh, that's right. It is a happy Cinco de Mayo to you, which is why we're having this big party today that everyone's invited to come on down to.
Well... we're not actually having a party. We kind of ruined things for ourselves at St. Patrick's Day, and we have some highlights of that coming up.
Highlights, quote unquote.
A few things that the boss didn't like a lot, mm-hmm. and immediately canceled Cinco de Mayo the day after.
Yeah.
Yes. The same day, actually.
Yeah,
we didn't hear about it until then. Anyway, we'll talk about that on the way on the Kevin and Bean Show, plus your chance to win tickets for Robin Hood. So I'm not pleased with this story out of Germany about the man marrying his cat, Kevin, but I understand you have some more details for me.
Well, there's a German dude, and he has a cat that had asthma. Mm-hmm. His cat's name is Cecilia. And apparently he was afraid the cat was going to die. So he wanted to make it official before the cat died, so he went ahead... and had a marriage ceremony and married his cat. Now, anywhere else, any other country, not so bad. Germany, bad things for the cat.
You think?
I'm saying nothing good comes out of Germany. That's what I'm saying.
We asked producer Alex to line us up the young man who is fortunately back from his honeymoon. I believe his name is Uwe Mitscherlich, if I have that right. And Uwe joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hello, sir. Hello.
Oh, can you hear me? Hello.
Oh, there you are.
Yes, there you are. Hey, Uwe, what's going on?
It's Uwe.
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 Uwe. I apologize. My German is not what it should
Uwe
be.
Uwe Mitscherlich.
Mitscherlich.
Uwe Mitscherlich.
That's what I said.
No.
Okay.
So the reports are true, sir. You have married your little cat, Cecilia?
I did marry Cecilia, yes, and I heard the jokes that you're making.
Well,
and, I think it is disrespectful. And,
I agree.
And also insensitive of you for
I agree.
Making these jokes.
Well, Uwe, I was basing the joke, which is more of a fear, on your quote, which is Cecilia is such a trusting creature. We cuddle all the time. And she has always slept in my bed.
Yes, she has always slept in my bed.
Right.
Yes.
And then when you get married, certain things happen.
Yes, you exchange rings.
Right.
Uh-huh.
You make vows to each other.
Uh-huh. Right.
Then you have a large party with umpapa music and Hefeweizen.
Right, sure. And then that night...
And at night, you go to your home after the party's over.
And then you get in bed.
Sure, because you're tired and it's late and it's been a big day.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then you say, hey, honey, I'm so happy to be your husband. Would you mind if we...
If we watch some television
I don't think
before
that's,
we
I'm not going...
call it a night? I'm not fun.
Oh, yes.
Oh, you can't use the F word on the radio.
You're being so secretive, I couldn't put it together.
I was
what you're asking.
I was trying to say it a little more delicately.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
No.
No,
but
no.
But she's my wife.
Right, but...
But she's an animal, though, and it must be illegal.
You have no idea. She is an animal in bed, that's for sure.
Is that right?
Look, it must be illegal in your country as it is in ours to have sex with an animal.
In Germany, we don't pay so much attention to the laws.
That was my fear.
It's not
a big
country for laws. We more, you know, let's face it, we start world wars. We don't really care too much about laws.
Right, you go with the flow, basically. Live and let live is what you say.
Yes, she's my wife, and we are happy together.
This is highly inappropriate.
Is she allowed to turn you down? I mean, can she say no? I have a headache.
She can't. She's welcome to say that if she can. Yes, I haven't heard her ever say that.
Because she can't talk because she's a cat.
She's a cat, of course.
Right.
Which is good for me.
Right, because then there's no way.
Bad for her.
Right. Right.
But she's not well either. She's asthmatic.
She's asthmatic, right?
Yes, and she's, you know, we have to be careful with the lovemaking.
You don't want to overwork
her. I hope so.
That's
yeah.
right. They don't want her to gasp and, you know, choke on a hairball or something.
Right.
No.
So
terrible way to go.
Have to make a gentle, sweet love.
Oh,
okay. You shouldn't be making love at all to your cat. That is completely inappropriate.
Sure. Yes.
There's that.
But I would do anything to make her happy.
How about not having sex with her?
That's not on the list.
No, all right.
No.
It's not on the list. Okay.
No, I'm very romantic. When the time for lovemaking comes, I put on her favorite music.
Which is?
Either Pussycat Dolls or Cat Stevens.
Right, okay.
All right.
And then, you know, I slowly pulled back the bed linens.
Oh, that can't be good.
And I read her, you know, her favorite book.
Which is?
Cat in the Hat, of course.
Cat in the Hat, sure.
Okay, warms her up. Right?
Then we watch L.A. Ink sometimes. She loves Kat Von D.
Okay.
Oh, does she?
Right, good.
We're planning a trip to Kathmandu, actually.
That's right.
No kidding.
If she can get her cataracts cleared up, she's got an eye problem.
Come on.
I drove her to the eye doctor in my Cadillac.
In your what?
In your what?
Cadillac.
Not even Cadillac.
Come on.
In your Cadillac?
Try it, Uwe.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant to say we traveled via catapult.
Okay. Well, it's 2010 now, Kevin. That means Spin Magazine has been around for 25 years, and their 25th anniversary issue is on newsstands now. We welcome the Spin Editor-in-Chief, Doug Broad, back to the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Doug, happy anniversary, man. How are you?
Thanks. I'm great.
25 years. It seems like there were some times in the history of spin where it looked like it might not make it. A lot of magazines have not been able to stay out that long.
Yeah, you know, we just keep plugging along, and it seems that things are going well for us, so we really can't complain.
Now, when you put together the a magazine like this where you put a bunch of lists in, you know you're in for a lot of people that are going to complain.
Yeah, it's funny. We did a list for in celebration of the 25th anniversary of the top 125 best albums, but it's actually on spin.com. It's actually not in the magazine.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. 125 best albums of the past 25 years.
Correct.
Okay.
I was surprised by the list for a number of reasons, and I'm sure nothing that you haven't heard in the spirited arguments you and your staff must have had when you were putting it together. For instance, number two, Prince, Sign of the Times, which is an album everyone I know bought when it came out, but it's not an album that people ever think about anymore, and I don't know when the last time was somebody went and pulled that off their shelf and listened to it again, which I think to me is kind of the mark of a classic.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, you know, I think it's all based on what the magazine loves. And you know, we have a lot of huge music fans here. And it's the one album that everyone says is his best. It has the greatest songs, the best sound. It just is the one that we feel like stands the test of time.
So top five, right. Number five is Radiohead, OK Computer. Number four,
I was frankly surprised knowing Spin was at number one, because it does seem like that was an earthquake in rock music when that album came out. It really just moved everything forward so much at the time.
You're absolutely right, but I mean, there are so many of those kinds of records, and you know, the number one record that's on our list is U2's Achtung Baby, which, I mean, say what you will about U2, that album was a real game changer for them and for, you know, for the way music was headed. They incorporated great, you know, techno beats and rave music, and they did some of their best ballads. It just was this extraordinary record. The, you know, OK Computer is a tremendous record, and personally, I think it's the last great record that Radiohead has made, but I don't think that it deserves to be number one on this list.
The other top five are Nirvana Nevermind, which, when you talk about, you know, albums that changed rock, that's certainly one of them. Number three is The Smiths, The Queen is Dead, and then there's Prince, and then there's U2, Achtung Baby.
And it's important to mention that the albums all have to be from the last 25 years. So if someone's listening and going, hey, why not Purple Rain or why not War by U2? That's because they came out too early for your purposes, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. I loved, and I looked at this online, the 25 moments that rocked our world. It's a fascinating list, and man, you guys did a great job putting that together. It's everything from the invention of the iPod, which certainly changed you know, music for music fans everywhere, to the deaths of people like Kurt Cobain and Biggie and Tupac. You told a story in the magazine, Doug, that I'd never heard before about how Spin Magazine is almost entirely responsible for Run DMC getting together with Aerosmith to do the Walk This Way that kind of made both of them superstars. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's funny. One of an early Spin editor from 1985 was a woman by the name of Sue Cummings, and she was friendly with Rick Rubin in New York very early on. This is when he just started producing Run DMC, so Def Jam had really just started. She was interviewing Run DMC for Spin and overheard one of the guys beatboxing to Walk This Way. And she had this brilliant idea of calling Rick Rubin and saying, hey, these guys really like Aerosmith. We should hook them up. And, you know, Rubin sort of took it from there. And it, you know, was a match made in heaven, obviously. It revived, you know, this great hard rock band that had fallen on hard times.
Right.
And it really, like, it did something spectacular to music. So, yeah, we take all the credit and all the blame for rap rock.
And she actually got a copy of Run DMC on cassette and took it to Aerosmith, guys who had never heard of the band before, played it for them, and got them interested, too. I mean, she really was like, you know.
She was a catalyst, absolutely.
She was like the president trying to solve the Middle East crisis, putting these two together. Isn't that, so indirectly, then, you're responsible for Limp Bizkit, right?
I guess so.
Yeah, because I mean that really did come out of that whole thing.
Sorry, guys.
We're talking to Doug Broad. He is the editor in chief of Spin Magazine about their 25th anniversary issue, which is out now. Tell me about the readers' poll. Any surprises in what your readers chose as the best of the last 25 years?
To be honest, I don't think so. I mean, you know, our readers are not necessarily, readers of the online segment of the magazine are not necessarily the readers of the magazine as well. So, you know, the readers of the of spin.com tend to skew a bit younger. So, you know, they're more engaged online. So there's really no surprises yet.
Yeah. So you had best band is Green Day, 26%. Mm-hmm. That's the readers poll. Best solo act, Madonna. Best album, Green Day, American Idiot. Best song, Green Day, Good Riddance. Best live act, Green Day.
I see a theme.
Hottest sex god, Billy Joe Armstrong. Seemed to like the Green Day online.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, you know, the play just opened on Broadway, so there's a lot of Green Day in the air right now.
Sure.
So, you know, they were able, you know, they're able to rally their fans, or the fans just rally around them, and, you know, they're able to change the course of history.
We didn't vote online, so we're not allowed to complain, I guess. But when we saw Best Band, Kevin immediately thought of Rage Against the Machine, which, you know, would have been his pick. And mm-hmm. I would be kind of surprised that people didn't put them, you know, at number one. And even bands like Foo Fighters come to mind as I think maybe even being bigger and better than Green Day.
You know, that's a good point.
That's opinion, right?
I don't know. I think just in general, Green Day have just, you know, they've made so many great records, and there's a real love for them out there, even beyond the music world. I mean, they've just done so many other things. I mean, they were on the last episode of Seinfeld, for crying out loud. So
right.
It's like they've really gotten into the mainstream.
And American Idiot was a genius album.
Was.
A lot of people
it
might
was.
Sure was.
Forget
yeah.
how crazy that was when it came out. It was so different than everything else that was out there.
Doug, final question. Will there be a Spin magazine in paper form, forget 25 years from now, even 5 years from now? What do you think?
I think there will be. I know there
okay.
will be. And you know, we're happy to do it. We enjoy putting together a magazine, and we're glad people are reading us.
Hey, it's still great, and I'm telling you what, if you're like me and a lot of my friends, and you're always on the hunt for new music, Spin Magazine is as good as anything out there in terms of you know, starting on a band early and letting you know what you should be looking for. Doug Broad is the Spin editor in chief. The 25th anniversary of Spin is out now, and of course, the Spin online as well. Doug, thanks for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thanks for having me.
You are listening to the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 6:55.
Mexicans!
Happy Cinco de Mayo from the Kevin Bean Show. Ralph Garman is here with another look at the Showbiz Beat. And as I understand it, Ralph, free stuff to give away.
That's right. That's how I roll. Tickets to go see the brand new Robin Hood movie starring Russell Crowe, directed by Ridley Scott. The team that brought you Gladiator gives you the dark, gritty version of the legendary character Robin Hood.
I'm glad they finally went dark and gritty with this. That sounds great.
Actually,
to me.
There's a little scene version, which I loved, came out in the early 90s with starring an actor named Patrick Bergen, an Irish actor named Patrick Bergen, where he played Robin Hood, and it was very gritty and very violent and very realistic. Uma Thurman played Maid Marian in that version.
Really?
Yeah, and it's one of my favorite Robin Hoods. I'm kind of a Robin Hood file, and that is one of my favorites, but hasn't been seen by a lot of people. So Netflix that. Yeah, I think you will also enjoy that version. I'm giving away tickets to go see the very special advanced screening of Robin Hood. And I want to ask a trivia question, make sure a real Robin Hood fan like myself gets to see this film. And here is your trivia question. Sean Connery famously played Robin Hood in another one of my favorite Robin Hood movies. It's called Robin and Marian. It came out in 1976. And he plays sort of an older Robin Hood coming back from the Crusades. And he finds that his girlfriend Maid Marian is so heartbroken when he leaves that she goes into a nunnery. She becomes a nun. And they rekindle their relationship, and it's a great, great film. But Sean Connery also appeared in another Robin Hood movie. If you know the name of that film, call right now, 1-800-520-1067. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. First five callers through with the correct answer get a pair of tickets to see the advanced screening of the brand new Robin Hood movie with Russell.
Well, I think we all can agree on the fact that you.
Yeah, there's Sean now.
It's true.
He's not too pleased.
He's right.
Speaking of movies, the Brits, you're talking about polls with the spin guy.
Sure.
The Brits were asked to list their top 10 movie sequels of all time.
Top 10 movie sequels.
Which is an interesting question. And I think the results would have been very different here in the States than they were in England, but I thought it was interesting. The 10th most popular sequel in the UK was Shrek 2.
Really?
Yeah.
Ninth was Meet the Fockers.
All right.
Okay. There's got to be better sequels.
No kidding.
They have to all be in the last 5 years?
No, these are all time.
All right.
Toy Story 2 was eighth on the list.
This just tells you who they asked, doesn't it?
Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers was seventh. The Bourne Supremacy was sixth. Aliens was fifth. The Dark Knight was fourth. Godfather Part 2 was only third on their list.
What?
You know, it cheesed me up. French Connection 2 doesn't even show up on this list, by the way, which I think is a brilliant sequel.
Huh.
The second best sequel, according to film buffs in the UK, Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
Okay.
Well, there's no question what number one is, then. There's only one possibility.
I agree.
Empire Strikes Back.
Has to be Empire Strikes
Gotta
Back.
Gotta be, right?
Troll 2? Control 2. The Empire Strikes Back, yeah, number one.
Yeah,
is best sequel of all time. Godfather 2.
Yeah.
Come on now.
That's pretty good.
That's what I'm saying.
I would say Empire and Godfather 2 would be 1 and 2, however you place them.
Have you seen French Connection 2 with
have
Gene Hackman?
I don't think I have.
Both of those films. Just if you like cop movies, they are maybe the prototypical cop movies of all time. Just brilliant, brilliant films.
It's a shame that they made this list now rather than wait a few weeks for Sex and the City 2, though.
Yeah,
because that's changed everything.
It would be number one with a bullet in my head. Do we have an answer to my trivia question, right? We've got a winner?
As a matter of fact, we have Kevin.
Kevin, you can't win. You work here. Oh, there's a different Kevin.
Yeah.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, how you doing?
What's the other Robin Hood movie that Sean Connery was in?
Prince of Thieves.
Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves with Kevin Costner. That's right. Worst Robin Hood movie ever. But he steals the movie at the end with an uncredited cameo as King Richard the Lionhearted at the end of the film. And if you can make it through to the end of the film, it's a refreshing change to see him walk on the screen. Congratulations. You are going to see the advanced screening of the brand new Robin Hood. Hold on. We're going to give you all the details, okay?
Thanks.
Thanks, man. Also, congratulations to Eddie and Chad and Nathan and Kelly. Also had the correct answer. I miss Sean Connery. Wish he'd make more movies.
He seems to be serious about being retired,
doesn't
he?
Sure does. Lost last night. Oh,
so great.
So great.
Yeah.
We're going to have the debate later on with Bean about whether Lost this season, best or worst.
Bean is bad.
We know
that.
First
of all, we know
that.
And
he's wrong in this particular case. And it's a particularly bad day for you, Bean, to have this argument, because I think last night's episode was one of the greatest episodes ever on Lost.
It was certainly the best episode of this season. I will give you that. But then that would have been pretty easy to do.
You bastard.
Oh, you're just bad and wrong in every way.
Good news for Lost fans. ABC has announced they're expanding the finale by an extra half hour.
Oh, thank God.
So it's going to be 2 hours.
2.5 hours now for the Lost finale.
Wow.
It's a movie.
It is a movie. It's a feature film, yeah. They've got so much good stuff. They tried editing it down to two, and they said, look, we got some gold here. And ABC said, live.
How about it?
I didn't think they edited that show at all. I thought they just put up everything they filmed, no matter whether it's good or bad this season.
Oh, you magnificent
are just
bastard.
Bad in every way.
I would kick you right in the hernia right now if you were here.
Leave my belly button out of this.
So, yeah, good news. By the way,
I thought
on
you were
going
to come back and go, they've decided to put another season on after this. We're not dead after all. We're coming back.
By the way, there is a retrospective, a 2-hour retrospective before the finale called Lost the Final Journey, which will take you through the entire series, and then the finale. So that's 4.5 hours of Lost you get.
4.5 hours in one night.
May the 22nd on ABC.
And then didn't you tell us earlier there's some sort of a Jimmy Kimmel reunion after that?
Yep.
He's doing a show where he has most or all of the cast on afterwards.
Yeah. So it's all Lost all the time over there on ABC, and I can't say that I blames him. Justin Bieber is
awesome.
Well, first of all, one of the hottest young girls working in music today.
She's cute. She's very cute.
But she is not the brightest star in the firmament.
Uh-oh.
She is not the sharpest knife in the cutlery drawer.
She embarrassed herself with it?
Yeah, she was on a TV show in New Zealand, and it looked like a TRL-type show.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They used to be on MTV, right? And he's interviewed by some dorky hipster. Some Kiwi hipster.
Right.
And they're asking him hilarious comedy questions about him, about himself and his career, Justin Bieber's career.
Right.
And so one of the questions threw Justin for such a loop you got to hear the audio.
He melted down.
Bieber is German for basketball, true or false?
Is what?
Is German for basketball, true or false?
German?
German. Sorry, that's the Kiwi accent going on there. German, you know? German.
I don't know what that means.
Let me look here. German. German.
Is German for... I don't know what that means.
Okay,
we
don't
say that in America.
One more. One more.
I like basketball, if that's what you're asking me.
Yeah, why not? He likes basketball.
We don't use that word in America, German.
That's odd. You think he didn't understand that what...
He did it. He didn't understand initially what the guy was saying, but then he handed him the card, and Justin Bieber was reading it.
Oh, I see. So he did
and
know
he
it was
said,
German.
Bieber is German for basketball, true or false? And he said, no, we don't use that word in America. German.
Huh.
Look, Justin.
He has to have heard of Germany,
Justin,
right?
Of course.
Justin, it's time to forgive. The Second World War was a long time ago. I know, I can understand how you feel, but you really, you just got to
go.
You got to.
Kid homeschooled.
He has been crusading for quite some time.
Oh, he hates the Germans.
He does.
Does not use that word.
I got Bieber fever.
Don't tell him about that dude that married the cat.
Oh.
In Germany. He'd be very upset.
Uva. Today's celebrity birthdays, Lance Henriksen, very talented actor from Millennium and Aliens. He is 70 years old today. Legendary member of the Monty Python comedy troupe, Michael Palin, is 67. John Rhys-Davies, so good in movies like Indiana Jones and others, 66 years old. Tini Yothers from Family Ties.
Yeah!
He's 37 years old. Thank you, Manny Ramirez. I'm glad you like Tini Yothers. Danielle Fishel from Boy Meets World and The Dish over there on Style. She is 29 years old. Singer Adele is 22. And Chris Brown is 21 years old today. Put on the headgear and let's go a couple rounds. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Faisal Shahzad almost got away. The Times Square bombing suspect's in court today, and they'll tighten up the no-fly lists nobody reads.
He was put on the no-fly list Monday afternoon. So there's this period of time where the Emirates would have to actually download, get that material, and put it on their no-fly list because it's not automatically updated.
They stood upon their heads to make the deal. Cal Worthington's dealership will stay in Long Beach, will keep producing millions in sales tax revenues, as the city council okayed a business loan of $600,000. The city of L.A. sends out letters to 400 pot clinics saying closed down by June 7th. Imagine the going out of business clearance sales. And the San Bernardino City Council, concerned about threats to public health and safety, wants to ban single can and bottle sales of malt liquors and fortified wines, which means you couldn't buy anything smaller than a 40? No problemo. 70 to 80, 58 at K-Rock, I'm Doc on the...
Hello, Mexicans. Why don't you amigos go back to Canada, where you belong?
That's not the attitude on Cinco de Mayo. We're doing our huge Cinco de Mayo live broadcast for Canada listeners to come on down. Party with us all day long. It's going off. DJ Omar Khan is here. Open bar. Oh, wait.
Yeah. Ole.
We had hold some. On. We're in, back in the studio.
We had some really good ideas, and we had a live show planned for Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah.
A little show.
Like we do almost every year, by the way.
Right, sure.
Mm-hmm. Of live broadcast.
Remember that Salma Hayek pinata we were going to bust open?
That's right, yeah.
Filled with gold. Gold coins and condoms.
The problem is that our boss here is not a fan of us.
He really doesn't like us.
He doesn't like us. He doesn't like our show. And he's certainly against fun. He really is the enemy of fun.
Yeah.
So, St. Patrick's
Day. How many times have we heard, why can't you guys be more like Carson Daly? Seriously. That's pretty much it in every meeting.
This week, 10. So, St. Patrick's Day, we did a show. Bean was on vacation, so it was Ralph and I holding down the fort. And I thought we did a pretty good show.
Me too.
Well, you guys were drunk.
Yeah.
Yes. That's true. Still. We do have some highlights of St. Patrick's Day because this is what happened. We did St. Patrick's Day show. And then that afternoon, there was some talk about how Cinco de Mayo had already been canceled.
Yeah.
And then the next day, we were brought into the office and we were told Cinco de Mayo was canceled.
This was the drunken straw that broke our boss's back.
Yeah. So part of what we were doing, we had an on-site contest where people were singing songs.
I'm going to be singing Sex on Fire.
Sex on Fire. Here's
another King song. Great.
Here's Fernando.
I just forgot the lyrics.
All right, well, so, that game, I thought.
You forgot the lyrics. That was funny, right?
Yeah.
We may have had a little to drink too early. Maybe that was the problem. Ralph, who usually does not stumble over words, did a little.
And thank you for just participating. I will be right back.
So we got that going.
Wow. Look, guy makes one stumble.
Yeah, I know.
Well, part of the problem, guys, in all seriousness, and again, I wasn't there because I was on vacation, but Mr. Weatherby hears that we're having fun.
Yes.
And he hates that.
Hates that.
He hears that the listeners are having fun, and he hates that.
Yes, yeah. That's correct.
He's not. He's the enemy of fun,
He's
right?
The enemy of fun, yeah. And so we did a show on St. Patrick's Day, and that is why we cannot do a show today. Or maybe ever. I don't know.
He doesn't like any live party shows that we do. The party machine has been murdered.
Yeah, right. We used to do
live
a show.
Event shows,
yeah.
Murdered.
Yeah.
Not interested.
Anything live he hates because it involves fun.
Yeah.
So Ralph did a countdown of the Leprechaun movies, which are all great. How many were there? Five?
Like five or six horrible, horrible horror movies.
And the director of Leprechaun heard that and called in. Now, it's possible that the crowd was a little loud at this moment when we were talking to the director of Leprechaun.
Take some notes. And while I was still coherent.
Sure.
And so I came up with Leprechaun, and I said, no one's done it, and everybody knows Lucky Charms, so let's do an evil, funny
Leprechaun.
Yeah, okay.
All right, listen. Maybe, I can accept that.
Maybe that's not the best radio if you're trying to listen to the interview.
I can accept that may have been bad. Maybe the crowd was a little too loud at that moment for a phone interview.
If I was in my car listening to that, I may not have stayed tuned.
Right. Omar was down there, and you. Those of you that have listened to the Kevin and Bean Show for a long time, you know that we have a running joke about Omar. Mm-hmm. And it always involves him ruining the party because he just goes too far.
Oh, Omar was drunk, climbed a flagpole and sat on it.
And we made those jokes for, I don't know, 10 years because Omar was the only guy that would literally have to be back at the station while we were out partying.
Right.
Well, we started bringing Omar.
Which in retrospect was a good plan.
A great plan. We started bringing Omar and we realized it's really hard to parody what he does, to exaggerate, because Omar is on fire when he starts drinking.
You're Irish.
Nobody's drinking all this.
Watch me.
This is why we don't bring him.
What?
Right, and when you vomit on your table. What? It's Vomit by Noon, dude.
That was the name of it. It was Vomit by Noon, St. Patrick's.
That was the name of the party.
And for listen some reason, to Omar's voice, by the way.
Omar took it way seriously, that title.
He sounds like some guy that you see on Cops who's already tased but has all this adrenaline going through, but he's still going to attack the cops.
Yeah. What? It's Vomit by Noon, dude. That's my...
Yeah, I don't really want to do that.
Really?
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 He could not comprehend that I wasn't really... My goal was not to vomit.
It was sort of talking cheap. Omar, I mean, we didn't all really want to vomit. That's not fun.
No.
Yeah, it was more of a thing about how you start partying early. That's all.
Yeah. It wasn't a mandate,
right?
Really.
We weren't forcing you to vomit by noon.
Yeah, well, at that point, I drank a half a cup of whiskey, so that was good.
Then they started bringing some kind of weird food.
Why do you have this deep fried in front of you? With
I don't
some
know.
Sauce?
I don't know.
Kevin's eating deep fried.
I wish it wasn't there.
I mean, Kevin has a big plate of deep fried.
Okay, so. All right, I mean, or maybe he has a point there.
That's
maybe,
what it looked like.
Maybe that wasn't.
Is the question, do people listen and they go, wow, that sounds like a blast. I wish I were there, but at least I'm able to enjoy it on the radio. Or do people listen to that and go, it's just a drunken mess and I hate it.
It depends on who it is.
Because I think that's what Mr. Weatherby's fear is.
It depends on who it is. Because I know people who love that, love to listen to it. I love to listen to that. I love to listen to people having a party. But
because you can laugh at those morons who are drunk and acting stupid.
But Mr. Weatherby is the type of guy who will literally just take his own life when he hears that.
Well, our show's not for him.
I agree. No, we're not doing it for him.
Yeah.
And then they brought us a shot of something weird.
That's a shot of
Thank
it is
you.
Not. Shot of
All right. Wow. There may have been some bad language. All right. So Omar started getting really bad, and near the end of the show.
Were you really awesome?
He wouldn't shut up, and he had the turntables. He was playing music there in the house while we were playing commercials on the radio and songs. He would play party music in the house so the people could enjoy themselves. And he started getting a little loud.
Come on, what's come on?
What up, Omar?
I'm so glad that we're heading into the end of the show because it's getting ugly.
All right, now that reggaeton horn, which we play.
It's his trademark.
Ironically, by the way.
Yeah.
He may overuse it.
What?
It's possible that he overuses it. And when drunk, he may overuse it a lot.
Can we cut Omar's microphone?
Cut Omar's microphone.
Shut up, Omar.
Kill Omar.
This is why we don't bring him.
All right. Thank you so much.
Listen.
This is why usually we say, oh, Omar was there and he was swinging from a tree and he had sex with a monkey and stuff. And he goes, oh, no, I wasn't there. I was back in the studio.
Right.
Because when we let him out of the studio, this kind of stuff happens.
He really does that. Yeah.
That's right.
All right.
No,
what are you talking about?
No, your microphone is turned off now.
Shut up.
We have no room for you.
The people chanting my name.
Now the crowd is Right. Omar, and we cut off his microphone, but he still has access to the reggaeton horn.
Yeah.
All right, listen. It's time for one last check of the showbiz beat.
This is the end of the Kevin and Bean show
Take a
here.
Shot!
At the Casey's
Irish Pub, right?
All right. Maybe we were a little distracted.
Look, I forgot where I was for a moment.
St. Patrick's Day.
Exactly.
Speaking of whores.
Stop!
mean that?
Must you hit the horn every time? I said whores, not horns. No, I said whores.
By the way, this is one of the things that was told us in the meeting. Mr. Yeah. Weatherby said that horn that Omar kept hitting was the death of all of us.
It was a deal breaker.
Omar's just upset that his microphone's off.
Yeah, I guess so. Ashley Dupree, who was the whore,
right?
That New York Governor Elliot.
So that happened. So
I don't know. Listening back, I think I gotta agree with Mr. Weatherby at this point.
What?
He made the right call.
I hadn't heard that stuff since we did it. He might have had a point.
He made the right call.
Pretty rough. Yeah.
That sucked. Wow, I thought we did a good show.
Like loud yelling drunk guys.
Yeah,
and we thought at the time we thought this rules.
We pulled
it
off. We kept our s together, and we really did a good show. We pulled it off.
He was right. That blew.
Yeah.
Wow. We got some 311 on the way. Also, Amberlynn and the new one from STP coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Look, hear my whole thing, Ralph. I loved Lost so much, and some of it may be the last couple of seasons, and in particular this season, I think have been well below the quality of the beginning of the series.
You're
maybe that's
wrong.
What the problem is that I'm comparing it to how great the show was.
No.
And now it just seems kind of repetitive, and it's not resonating with me at all. And I gotta be honest, the thing that's really killing me about this final season is I don't care a whit about the Flash sideways, about this alternate universe that's going on.
Then you're missing everything. You're missing all of it.
Stupid, ignorant son of a bitch, dumb bastard!
I'm actually seeing it. I'm just not enjoying it.
No, you're not. Because here's the thing about Lost.
Here's your whole thing.
And I'm the first guy to say, a few seasons back, I think Lost lost its way.
Yeah.
No pun intended. Mm-hmm. And I was very vocal about that. And even the creators have said, maybe we veered off course a little bit. But then they brought it back so strong the past couple seasons that I think they've done some of their best work. This season, absolutely included. And the thing about the side flashes this season is that,
and for folks who don't watch the show, let me just in 15 seconds, let me just say, the Lost is a story of a whole bunch of people that get stranded on an island and their journey to try to get off. And what is there's been a lot of flash forwards, but in the past, it started with flashbacks.
They would show you the backstories of the characters. Then it showed flash forwards, what would happen after these events on the island, what would they be like? And now they've started doing flash sideways,
because
which is what happened. We see what happens to the characters if the plane had never crashed, if they had all gone to Australia and then come back home to America on Oceanic.
And that's fascinating to watch at the same time.
What would happen if the plane had never crashed? The plane has not crashed and has also crashed. These two realities are coexisting real time. Both things are happening.
F that.
That is fascinating.
What do you mean,
stuff. Maybe you're missing it. You're not enjoying it because you think, oh, this is like a what if situation. No, that is happening. They are on the island and they are off the island at the exact same time. These two realities are coexisting. Time has schismed off into two separate paths.
Right.
Which is fascinating. But
after having five seasons invested in these characters on the island and their journey to get off, I don't know why I should care about these same characters in a completely different show. That's a completely different show to me.
No, it isn't, because the side flashes show you those characters in different situations, and yet you see the true nature of these people is unaltered, regardless of whether they exist on an island or they're existing in Los Angeles.
They're the same people.
They're the same people, and they put them in situations. Each flash sideways has been an examination of that character, and they show you what would happen if Ben Linus had been the leader on the island, or Ben Linus had been a high school history teacher. And you see the same grasp for power, the same urge to do anything to get to the top, but then he is redeemed in this other reality. It is a total exploration of his character. And each of those episodes that feature a character in the Flash side, it was like last night's was John Locke's. You get to see... And a true examination of these people that we have invested ourselves in for all these years. And it's even better because we know so much about them, and it's even richer because we get to see them in those situations.
It wasn't interesting to you, Bean, to find out why John Locke couldn't walk and how that happened and how who would affect
it? In the past, it's been his con man father who pushed him out a window that broke his back. In this reality, he is the man responsible for his father's injury, and we see the toll that takes on him, how he has lost his faith because of the guilt that he feels.
To answer your question, Kevin, I was fascinated to find out why John Locke couldn't walk three seasons ago when we found out while he was on the island what happened to that character. Don't care about alternate sideways John Locke and why he can't walk. Don't care at all.
Then you don't care about the character if you don't care. Because it's
you
the same
don't care
character.
About John Locke.
It's the exploration of that character, which is a great character on television, and it's a fascinating story. And you get to see what makes him tick, and the similarities are throughout the flashbacks, flash forwards, and flash sides. He is who he is, and the premise of that we are all meant to cross paths, regardless of what happens in our lives, the people that you meet in your lives, you're meant to meet. And the fact that Desmond is the linchpin and is kind of pushing people together and forcing them together, all building towards a culmination towards this finale, it's great television.
We're going to take some phone calls if you have some thoughts on whether Lost has been great or awful this season at 1-800-520-1067. Well, I think that's fair. I think there are going to be a wide variety of opinions
sure.
out there. And I think the other thing that has been really frustrating is it has seemed incredibly repetitive to me, even the way the show is shot this year, where they keep doing all of these scenes where you see somebody walking up from behind or somebody coming in from another room, and, oh, wow, look, it's somebody else that we know from the island now in a completely different scenario. And it's not shocking or mind-blowing anymore at this point, because we've seen it with all 60 characters from the island already.
It's not supposed to be mind-blowing. It's supposed to show you that regardless of where you go and what you do, there are predestined people that are going to affect your life. That there's going to be pebbles thrown into the pond of your life, and the ripples will be felt regardless of where you go or what choices that you make. These people will come into your life and make a difference.
Argue the pebble thing, Bean. Argue the pebbles.
It's possible that I am not bright enough to get all out of this show.
That's
that
not
other
true.
People
you're
are
one
getting.
Of the brightest people we know. But you, for some reason, are just holding your breath, stamping your feet till you turn blue.
I don't like it.
You've decided just to throw a tantrum about
no,
this show.
I don't like it.
I haven't thrown. I mean, I feel like I have given this show thousands of hours of my time, both in real time watching it and thinking about it and wanting to like it very much. Look, I hate being disappointed, and especially when there's a show on like Flash Forward, for instance, which has been so much better this season than Lost is.
Unwatchable.
So much better.
Unwatchable, really? I like that too.
So much better. Anyway, let's see what the Kevin Bean listeners think at 1-800-520-1067. Are you enjoying this final season of Lost? Or do you think you'll be disappointed when it's over? We want to hear from you. We'll take your calls when we return. Right after this on the Kevin and Bean. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, if anyone knows or is waking up next to Petros Papadakis, go ahead and remind him of his visit scheduled for the Kevin and Bean Show today. If he could just swing on by, we'd enjoy spending some
Not
time
funny,
with him.
Not funny, dude.
Well.
He's got the apnea. We don't even know if he's with Ooh. Us anymore.
Oh, it's he like could have died in his sleep? Is that what you're suggesting?
I'm just saying.
It's supposed to be a half hour ago, so maybe.
He's All right, 1-800-520-1067. We're talking about Lost, the final season. Ralph, how many episodes are left? Just two or three? Something
three,
like that?
I think two regular episodes and then the 2.5-hour finale.
Okay. I have not enjoyed this season at all. Although I will say there have been individual scenes that I thought have been great, and I really, really admire and enjoy a lot of the work of the actors on this show. I think there's a lot of good actors on this show. I just think the plot line has gotten crazy and convoluted, and I just don't care. And it's been boring.
It's gotten that way?
I think the metaphysical and philosophical exploration this season has been really the culmination of everything the show has been about. The good versus evil battle, how your life is affected by others, how you cross paths with each other. I think we're getting finally to the true themes of the show and what the show has always been about, but we were too busy looking at polar bears and what was going on the island to recognize what they were really talking
Ralph,
about.
Ralph, you have two clips, but let's talk to Robert first and get his take on Lost. Hi, Robert.
Well, I just want to openly admit that it's not because it's Cinco de Mayo, I'm Mexican, and Bean is named after one of the staple foods of my culture, but I'm kind of agreeing with Bean. You know, guys, it's just that all these years, I just want to know what's going on with the island. It's been just a lost story there. Seasons before, we get frustrated because the story would not advance because they kept going more into detail of the characters,
the island,
their background. I think we got to stick to the island.
I think Robert's saying the same thing I'm saying, which is I care very deeply about these characters and how they got to the island and why and how they're going to get off. I don't care about all this other stuff that they've spent most of this season on.
Yes,
you asked our phone screener what happened to the smoke monster. Did you say that?
Yeah, I think to me the smoke monster, we all know what Jacob and the smoke monster are all about. We don't care about all the sorts of outside and everybody else.
Gotcha. All right, Robert, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that.
He lost me.
Yeah.
Let's try Chris. Chris is on line two, joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about this, the final season of Lost. Hi, Chris, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up? I just think that the season's been awesome.
Yes.
Really great. The flash sideways are awesome. I just love it.
Yes. How come? Can you go beyond just you think it's good?
Yeah, and then just the season in general, I mean, they've been answering a lot of questions about the island and going into details about the smoke monster and stuff and his backstory, so
That's why I love it. I mean,
yeah, now we know why everything happens on the island the way it does. We finally know what's going on.
I've gotten a lot of answers this year.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's try Melba, line one.
I love your toast.
Yeah.
File. File.
Oh, come on.
File.
Hey, he doesn't have to take it back, but we're filing it.
Hi, Melba. Okay. Thank you for calling. You haven't heard that toast joke before, right? That's brand new and fresh.
Oh, no. Gosh.
Listen to Bean asking for fresh material, by the way.
That's true. All right, back to
the list. Okay, guys. So this is the deal. Bean, I hate to say this, but I totally disagree with you, Ralph. I'm totally on your side on this one.
Oh,
you see, think of Lost as this way, right? They're just trying to avoid bitchers and complainers 20 years from now going, oh, what if they would have survived? What if they would have ended, would have not, you know, the island, blah, 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 blah.
So, wait, you think they're doing the alternate reality at the same time so that when people look back on it in history, they'll say they answered all the questions that we had?
Yeah, they'll say they got their shit straight together. You see, they answered the question to the people that were going, why the hell are they on the island?
Which I don't care about 20 years from now, though. I want to watch the show and enjoy it now.
Bean, well, come on. If you want to find out now, watch the last episode.
That's what we're saying.
That's all you got to do. Ralph, I totally love you, and I agree with Ralph, so come on, Bean.
Come on, Bean. Come on now.
Melba sounds cute, but she's not going to convince me. I'm sorry. Let's try it. Anna, real quick on line four. Hi, Anna. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What say you?
Hi. I just wanted to say, like, I think I haven't watched Lost. Like, I started watching it in the beginning, and then I kind of got lost. So, I think it's a good. I think it has like a good concept and like a good background, and I really like how, like, they're trying to have this subliminal message of people are going to end up eventually meeting each other no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they should have done it a lot faster. Like, it kind of dragged itself into the ground, and it's taken too long
to get to the answers that you want answered.
Exactly. Okay. And as for, like, trying to sum up things for people who are asking, like, what if, like, oh, what if this had happened, or what if this had happened, like, screw those people. Like, those people, they just don't appreciate certain things. Like, it's not their stupid show. Like, let the writers do what the hell they want.
That's a good point.
Yeah, Bean, it's not your stupid show. It's the writers.
I don't know.
I didn't look at it that way, Anna. You're absolutely right about that. Although Ralph brings up a good point in that it's not a what if. The Flash sideways is not a what if, you're saying, Ralph. It's an alternate reality that is happening concurrently with the characters on the island. So there are two Dr. Shepherds running around on the Earth at the same time.
And I'm telling you that those two lines will intersect at some point this season. And that's going to be...
I think
that's going to be the culmination, is when... both these two elements of these characters collide, and then we see what happens.
So then Jack is going to fight Jack, Desmond, and Hurley's going to fight Hurley.
Because Desmond knows now what's going on. He knows that there's two realities. He knows that the Flash sideways reality is not where they're supposed to be. They're supposed to be on the island, and he is steering everyone back to where they belong. It's going to be great.
All right. Well, we're out of time. Let me just say I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to watch it to the end.
You're not allowed.
We don't want you.
You're not welcome. Leave our party.
You're not one.
Wouldn't it be awesome if the Kates meet and fall in love and make out and have lesbian sex? Wouldn't that be the best?
I think we could all agree on that.
Yeah.
Now we're talking.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 7:52.
They just with the wrong Mexican.
Cinco de Mayo on the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday. Wednesday. Ralph Garman joins us for another look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Bean just had a flash sideways.
He did.
Ooh, I did.
Thought he was in Tuesday.
We don't care.
Yeah,
Bean.
We don't care about your flash sideways, man.
We care about you or your flash sideways.
I just want to know where they got the chocolate bars from in the Dharma Hatch.
Screw you, man.
You don't know.
Kiefer Sutherland and Bean have a lot in common.
Nope.
All right, they have one thing in common.
I agree with Mike on that.
Mike's right on that one.
Kiefer also went through a health scare last February. Apparently, he had a ruptured abdominal wall.
Whoa. How do you do that?
Did you rupture your abdominal wall?
That's what a hernia is.
That's what Bean's got. He's got a ruptured abdominal wall. That's why his intestines are poking through.
Exploding?
No, he actually had a cyst that ruptured and caused internal bleeding.
Wow.
And so they actually had to operate and patch him up.
I think this is when it happened.
Go, go, go!
Right there!
That was it. You can hear it burst right there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Did you guys see the press conference with the Attorney General and the New York police and everybody talking about how they captured that Times Square bomber? And they're like, look, I know Jack Bauer could do it in 24 hours, but we caught him in 53. That's pretty good. They're trying to compare themselves, trying to hold up their law enforcement skills to Jack Bauer at this point in real life.
Yeah. He does it alone in 24 hours.
He does.
Had a lot of help.
Working against the government for the most part.
Yeah.
So.
He said he had the best medical care available, and he was able to go back to work in less than a week. So it sounded scary, but he bounced back pretty quickly.
Wow.
He said, Bean, however, will probably die.
Wow.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I didn't know he even knew Bean.
Isn't
that weird?
Hmm.
Amanda Seyfried is dating Dominic Cooper. They've got a long-distance relationship. She lives in New York, while her actor boyfriend resides in London. Mm. But she says it's fine the way it is. She's not concerned about the distance, and she's not worried about him hooking up with other girls.
All right.
In a phone interview, Dominic said he likes the distance, too, and then there was the muffled sound of intercourse. So we're not really sure what's going on there.
That Amanda Seyfried, by the way, has gotten unbelievably hot in the last couple of years.
Yes, she really has. Hasn't turned it up.
Yeah. Yep.
Scarlett Johansson is now a diehard comic book geek, so suck it!
Wow, you win.
I do win. She's one of us now. She's come over.
Oh.
She said it's not unusual in her house to serve her husband Ryan Reynolds dinner and for them to have a stack of comic books on the table that they're reading. When you think about it, they're both comic book movie stars now. Yep. She did Iron Man 2.
This was her first one, though, Iron Man 2, right?
Yeah. And he is the Green Lantern.
Sure.
Coming up soon, so... They got a lot of comic books in that family. But they said they're both diehard comic book fans now. We're taking over the world, man. I told you, you didn't believe me. We're taking
she
over
is,
the world.
Finally stumbled into the genre of movies that match her acting abilities.
How dare you?
Just saying. She's not a very good actor.
You're wrong in every way.
Dancing with the Stars last night. Aw, broke my heart.
What?
Broke my heart to see Erin Andrews and Pamela Anderson in the bottom two.
Pam Anderson?
Niecy Nash dances on, by the way, while Erin Andrews... Erin Andrews and Pamela Anderson are in the bottom two. That's
I don't know
right.
who Niecy, whatever.
Niecy Nash is the big, beefy, sassy black woman.
Are you aware that you're talking with Dancing with the Stars?
From Reno 911.
Oh, okay, I know her.
Yeah. And Pamela Anderson was voted off the show last night.
But you're aware you're talking about Dancing with the Stars.
It is the second most watched television show in the nation.
Oprah's pretty big, too, but I'm just saying, you don't have to cover it.
It's news.
Don't feel like you have to cover it.
I'm wondering what the ratings will be like now that guys are not tuning in to wait for that wardrobe malfunction on Pam Anderson.
True.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
Congratulations to Julia Louis-Dreyfus of Seinfeld fame. She got her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame yesterday.
Belle.
They unveiled her star, and she looked down and recognized they had spelled her name wrong. It was Julia.
There's no series of checks and balances that goes on there?
Louis-Dreyfus. L-U-I-S.
Oh.
And how does she spell it?
L-O-U-I-S.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Awesome. I would leave it like that forever.
And she has a hyphen between her middle name and her last name. That was also left out.
That's great.
That is pretty spectacular.
That's good.
She said she had a pretty good sense of humor about the whole thing. She said the misspelling was so perfectly apt, a great metaphor for show business. Right when you think you've got it made, you get knocked down. It's an ideal metaphor for how this business works.
Take two.
She asked them to leave it the way it was.
Really?
She did?
She thought it was hilarious.
Oh, that's great.
But they freaked out, as you can imagine. They immediately chiseled it out of the sidewalk, and they're going to put a properly spelt star in its place. But they're going to give her the misspelled one as a memento.
Cool.
So she can
that's
have it.
Great.
She can have it at her house.
I didn't even know that Miss Cleo was working for the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce.
See, because she doesn't know how to spell.
Damn it, man. Is there anything you don't know?
And speaking of comic book movies... It's been announced who Captain America will be battling in his first major motion picture. Of course, Chris Evans, who played the Human Torch in the Fantastic Four movies, will play Captain America. And now we'll know who'll play the villain, the Red Skull.
Oh, not the Red Skull.
Oh, Captain America's arch nemesis is the Red Skull. You know.
The Red Skull, man. That guy's tough.
Actor Hugo Weaving.
Skull is red and all that.
The Red Skull.
From The Matrix.
The Matrix and also V...
What does the Red Skull do? What's his power?
He's pretty much the super meta-human leader of the Third Reich during the World War II years.
Okay.
He is a bad Nazi.
A bad Nazi, not a good one.
He's a bad Nazi, and he does have a giant red skull on his face.
Okay.
His face is a red skull, in other words.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. And but does he have superpowers or
does
anything?
Does that scare people?
Can he throw stun pumpkins or anything like
he's
that?
He's super evil. How about that?
Right, but people look at him and go, oh, my God, it's a red skull, and they fall over.
Well, they're scared of him because his head is a giant red skull.
Right,
and
but
he's a Nazi.
What more do you need?
He's one of the bad Nazis.
He's an ugly, bad, super evil Nazi.
All right.
Wow, you guys are hard to impress.
Just saying.
Well, it's just that usually in a superhero movie, you're going up against somebody who also has some sort of special skills. It just sounds like this guy's a badass.
He's the leader of the hordes and hordes of Nazi troops.
Okay, I got it.
Wow. There's a lot to impress you people.
We're just saying. It seems lame if you're going to have a superhero.
I don't have any time. I don't have any time for Lady Gaga, Britney Spears off, but I'll do that in the next hour. I promise. We'll talk about that. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? Lance Henriksen, one of our favorite actors from Millennium and Aliens. He is 70 years old today. Comedian actor Michael Palin from Monty Python turned 67. Tini Yothers, who was on Family Ties. She played the little sister on Family Ties, Michael J. Fox's little sister. Mm-hmm. And the character's name was...
insignificant.
Ashley and Andy.
Not important.
Brenda.
Didn't
Carly.
Matter. No one
ever saw that show.
Danielle. You never saw Family Ties?
Never. Not one time.
I don't remember her name.
Mallory was the other one. That was Justine Bateman.
You think Bean's an alien? There are times when
he does have big gaps.
Huge monster gaps.
I didn't
have
television in the 80s at all, so I didn't see any of those shows.
And to make up for it, Bean's been mainlining television ever since. Yeah. He just has a coaxial cable stuck into his cerebral cortex.
IV drip of TV.
Danielle Fishel from Boy Meets World and The Dish.
Topanga.
She is 29 years old.
By the way,
today.
Check out The Dish. That's a good show. I know it's on Style Network. I don't usually go there. But it's a pretty funny show.
It's their version of The Soup, done by the same producers. And it is really well written. And she delivers the stuff brilliantly.
She's funny.
We've had her on the show. She's also a charming young lady. Adele is 22 years old today, and Chris Brown celebrates his 21st birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 7 minutes after 8 o'clock.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on the holiday, the quasi-holiday known as Cinco de Mayo. By the way, Dave the King of Mexico, who's our one of our Brown staff members here on the Kevin and Bean Show, did he take advantage intentionally of it being Cinco de Mayo today and just come in whenever the hell he felt like it? Wasn't he like 2 hours late today?
Oh, I slept in. I'm sorry. My alarm did not wake me. My alarm.
Alarm.
My alarm, it did not go off.
I just wondered if he felt like he had a pass, because who could say anything on Cinco de Mayo? And by the way, the Mexican national anthem we're listening to, I have to say that because I know Dave wouldn't recognize it.
No. But, Dave's the worst Mexican ever. Is that true?
He is the worst Mexican ever.
I hate
being
Mexican. Really? Oh, I hate it.
I mean, we're not kidding. He really is a bad Mexican. He does not represent the race well. I don't think... What? You're bad. You're a bad Mexican.
What?
You heard us. You're a bad Mexican.
Oh. How am I bad?
All right, let's start with this. Do you speak Spanish?
Of course I don't.
All right. What grades did you get in Spanish in high school?
Well, I passed.
What grades?
I passed.
What grades?
That doesn't matter.
D's and F's.
I don't remember high school.
D's and F's you got.
Yes, I got 4 F's and 2 D's.
But that's
the D's,
passing?
And they passed you?
But the D's were when it counted.
Yeah. You really brought your game up when
I got my credits.
Now, your parents still live in Mexico, right?
No,
they don't. Okay. they don't speak English, though.
They do.
They do speak English.
Very well, too. Better than I do.
But yes, that's true. So you can't speak Spanish, first of all.
Yes.
I can't speak English very well either.
Right. You hate tequila.
Oh, disgusting.
What?
Oh, it's nasty.
I didn't know that.
You hate beer.
Oh,
For the most part,
the suds make my belly feel bad.
You hate Mexican food.
No. I hate chili.
Spicy food.
Spicy food, yeah.
Any kind of spicy.
Oh, yeah.
Anything that burns my mouth, I don't
know. Okay, let me stop right there.
I like mayo.
Look, I understand that you're a Mexican-American. I understand that.
Yes.
You're born in this country, and you are, you know, you're a modern Mexican. But it's very rare to meet a Mexican or Mexican-American that doesn't like beer or spicy foods. I mean, doesn't that strike you as odd? Is it possible you were swapped at the hospital and you're actually Norwegian?
Yeah, he's Norwegian.
No, I think I'm normal.
No,
really?
You don't like tequila, you don't like beer, and you don't like spicy food.
No, it upsets my belly.
I've come around on beer.
My belly gets bonkers.
Yeah. I have to give Dave some credit. He is a fan of Los Doyers. He does like
Los Doyers. I love Los Doyers. Okay, so one.
So that's one thing in the Mexican column.
Would you know how to check the oil in your car? Would you know how to check the oil?
If that means taking it to, like, Easy Lube, then yeah, sure.
What's an engine?
He has no idea.
Oh, my God.
So you mean that one time where it started smoking from my car because there was no oil in the car? Is that good?
Do you like to date Hispanic chicks?
Not necessarily.
No, they are nasty. I like Helly. I like Kristen Bell.
How many?
I like Aryan blondes with blue eyes.
How many items do I need before you can admit that you're the worst Mexican?
You're a terrible Mexican.
You're a bad Mexican.
I'm not saying I'm the best Mexican, but I'm not the worst.
I hate tattoos. They are disgusting.
I'm down with my peoples.
Dave, how about this? How about this? We gave you a point of Mexicanness for the Doyers. What about the Raiders, though? If you're actually Mexican or of Mexican heritage, you have to love the Raiders.
No Raiders.
Not
no,
your team
no
at all,
Raiders
right?
Not even
no,
close.
No, I like the Falcons because they're from Atlanta.
He's an Atlanta Falcons fan.
Yeah. They're black and silver, sort of.
And what? Yeah, sure. And what Mike is doing is he's telling you how Dave speaks English, which is that anytime the vowel is ah, he says eh.
So right, he'll like say the Falcons don't have any Mexican right fans except for you.
Right. He'll say it's a oh yeah, I like that. It's a ballad. He'll say it's a ballad.
I'm a wolf in sheep's clothing. I love ballads. Right,
so no Raiders.
Can't speak Spanish. Don't like tequila. You do not like Mexican chicks. You don't like spicy food. Not a Raiders fan.
Yeah.
Don't know how to change oil in your car.
Nope.
Do you have a swimsuit? You do, don't you? You do.
Dude, I don't go in the water.
Do you
come
have
on,
a swimsuit?
I don't go to the beach.
Do you own a swimsuit?
Yes, I have four shirts.
No, you're a terrible Mexican.
There you go.
And I love pink Barry. It's so good. I want to get pink Barry for lunch.
So, Dave, you weren't celebrating Cinco de Mayo today as much as you just overslept like white people do.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Have you had a job for the last 10 years?
Yeah.
And do you have any kids?
No.
Okay.
He's not Mexican.
I rest my case. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ taking over Six Flags Magic Mountain on Friday, May 14th. That's a week from Friday. Keep listening for your chance to win a 4-pack of tickets. Plus, join K-Rock's Nicole Alvarez as she broadcasts live from Magic Mountain. So that's coming up all day today here on the world-famous K-Rock. It is 22 minutes after 8 o'clock.
The president of your UFC, Dana White, always a fascinating guest, joins us in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, we should have done this as a topic today. How do you know if you're a bad Mexican? Because Homegirl writes in, hey, ask Dave if his car is registered in his name and if it's painted all one color. If he answered yes to either questions, he is not Mexican. So maybe we'll save that for next Cinco de Mayo where we're still not allowed to broadcast live. Hey, speaking of Dana White, speaking of sports, speaking of the Lakers last night winning game two in the Jazz, and the Lakers seem to have really found their groove, winning 4 playoff games in a row, by the way. I think a lot of Laker fans are breathing pretty easy right now because the team that they know and love is back. There was a flurry of activity on my internet last night about the woman who was sitting behind Phil Jackson, that every time they would show Phil on the bench, you would see this woman. And Mike, you saw her too. Beautiful Latina with enormous boobs, right?
Yes, that's exactly right. That perfectly encapsulates her as a person.
I think if I were any team in the NBA, I would hire hot chicks to sit there.
It's a brilliant idea. You know what I mean? Seeing all of you act like 5-year-olds.
Look, that's all we have. That's our only option. What do you want us to do? We watch. We look at Phil Jackson and we go, "What? Hey, wait. What's that? Who's?"
This just floors me.
It's just like when Kevin has a group of friends that will contact him in the event of a car chase to let him know, dude, turn on channel 8 right now, whatever it is, right? You got to see this car chase. Well, that's what was happening with my email last night. It was just blowing up with people who were like, dude, you've got to turn on the game right now. And I'm thinking, what's happening? Is it a blowout? What's the deal? Then they would go on to say, look at the chick behind Phil. And then Money from the Petrus and Money show, he's at the game. He's like, oh, man, I keep hearing about this chick. I got to go over and fight her. So he actually got up, you know, during a timeout or something like that, and walked over there and then reported back that they were as awesome in person as they were as they were on TV. And then Andrew Siciliano, our friend Andrew from Fox Sports, he's like, I got a drinking game going. Every time they show her on TV, I take another shot.
That's
so,
a good
I mean,
call.
She really turned into a big deal last night. So we were asking earlier today at 1-800-520-1067, who is this beauty? Can you help us track her down? Because frankly, I think she needs to be on the Kevin and Bean Show, maybe in some capacity talking about traffic, or there's a lot of different things we could do with it, but traffic comes to mind as a job that might be open
just
soon.
Just off the top of your head.
And,
sure.
And I think we got Ron on the line who may have an update for us. Hi, Ron.
Well, I'm actually a supervisor at Staples Center. I run the main concourse, about the first 20 rows.
Yes.
So the girl is actually a girlfriend of one of the strength and conditioning coaches for the Lakers.
Do you know her name?
I don't know her name offhand, but, you know, like, I say hi to her once in a while when she's at the games and, you know, because she comes into certain aisles where I'm working at, so I always say hello to her.
Is she the reason you keep that job?
That's probably one of the reasons, but there's five others just like that I keep my job. But
nice.
I got you. All right, we need to get a picture of her, Rod. You got any clues on where we could find something like that?
Well, I'll tell you what, after the next home game, I can definitely get you one.
All right, well, we need that, but we also need you to talk to her. We need to make contact with her. We need to get her on the show. And if you have access for the next home game.
I run the first 20 rows, so
all right.
You have to come through me in order to get down to her seat.
Yeah. Okay. All right. You're our man. We're deputizing you for the next home game. All right, dude?
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you very much. We've had a couple people who have sent in pictures of the most important part, but we'd also like to see her face. If there's any way you can get a screen cap from the game or something like that, we kind of like to get a full picture of her, if that's possible.
I see here that Jack is on the line. Hi, Jack.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Oh, Jack Nicholson.
That's Jack. Wow. Oh, all right.
You
what's going
know?
On, Mr. Nicholson?
I heard you fellas talking about the Lakers, and I couldn't help but call in.
Well, they are your team. You're at every game. Did you enjoy last night? It must have been fun to see them beat up on yourself.
Of course I did. I always enjoy a win.
Right.
And I want to tell you fellas that anytime I'm up before noon, I always listen to your program.
You do?
We appreciate that very much.
This is the second time I've heard
it. Now, you're a legendary ladies' man. You certainly have no shortage of hot chicks in your life. Have you even noticed the woman that we're talking about who is so prominent on the broadcast?
Noticed her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've noticed her.
All right.
In fact, I've had the pleasure of her company.
Is that right?
Oh, wow. Impressive.
It was over a urinal.
What? Over what a urinal?
Over a year ago.
Oh, a year ago.
Yeah.
I thought you said urinal.
And I know you guys were curious about her and who she was.
Right.
Very much so. What can you tell us?
Well, her name is Norma.
What?
Her name is Norma.
I thought you said Norm.
No, that would be a man's name.
Right, I know, but that's why it was shocking.
Norma Scans is her last name, and Norma Scans is always there at the games, and she's a pleasure to watch. But I kid. Her real name is Tata Melancans. No, but I kid. Her name is Bonita Areolas. Happy Cinco de Mayo, everybody.
You as well.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and we are proud to welcome Dana White back to the program, a frequent guest.
Mm-hmm. Look, good morning, Dana. We're great, sir. Always a pleasure to have you on. Dana may be the president of the UFC, but I'm here to say he should be the president of the USA. That's what I'm here to say.
Wow,
this guy knows what he's talking about. Dana, we don't have you on nearly often enough, and we always have so much to catch up on in the minutes that we do have you. So, Kevin, where do you want to start? We got a lot of topics on the list for Dana.
Let's start about UFC 113 because it's the rematch of Machida and Shogun, and that was an amazing fight. And a lot of people disagreed with the outcome. Tell us about putting this together. How easy was it? Were they both? They were both
including
game?
Including me. I actually thought that Shogun won that fight too. After the fight, I scored it a couple times, and I had Shogun winning three of the five rounds, if not four. It's one of those situations where, listen, we don't control the judging or the refereeing, and I'm always honest and fair with guys. These guys train and work so hard. I thought that this fight deserved an immediate rematch. And to Lyoto Machida's credit, he took the fight too and accepted it.
Yeah, I agree, and that's amazing. But I also want to ask you, how much pressure do you think both of those guys are going to put on themselves to not let it go to the judges?
No doubt about it. That's the other thing I love about this fight. There's no doubt that these guys are the two of the best 205-pounders in the world, and I agree, they're not going to let this thing go to a judge's decision. And, being the type of fighters they are and the different styles, I think that, they both saw what the other one has. I think right. They both worked on it. They know what to expect in this fight, and I think they're going to go after it, and I'm excited about that.
Of course, we're talking about UFC 113, which is going to be this Saturday night. You're back in Canada this time at the Bell Center in Montreal. You can get it live on pay-per-view for Machida versus Shogun 2. Dana, you are the president of UFC, but you're also a guy who's fairly accessible, and I know that you talk too. You've got an open pipeline through the internet and personal appearances with your fans. When something like that happens, a controversial judge's decision, man, do I bet you get an earful everywhere you go for the weeks following that fight.
Oh, yeah. And I'm a big Twitter freak, too. I've got a lot of people who follow me on Twitter. And, it blows up. People get angry. I don't disagree. Listen, I'm a big fight fan, too, and have been my whole life. And there's nothing that pisses you off more than when you sit down and watch a fight and you don't agree with the decision. It drives you crazy.
By the way, speaking of people getting angry, I'm not ever going to buy an Anderson Silva fight again.
Right.
That really made me so mad.
Yeah. People who say that, listen, it's my job now to go out and make sure that, you know, the next time Anderson fights, this guy's no doubt pound for pound the best fighter in the world. But what he did in Abu Dhabi is, I'm telling you, I don't know if I've ever seen anything like it in the sport before.
He was clearly better than the other fighter. And Maya, was that his last name, the other fighter?
Yeah, Damian Maya.
And was just taunting him. And Maya was all bloodied and was, like, trying to continue fighting. And Anderson Silva just wouldn't. It was one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen.
It was insane. It's the only time in the 10-year history of being the president of this company that I literally got up in the fourth round, walked over and handed the belt to his manager and said, "You put it on him, I'm not," and I left the arena.
Wow,
that's quite a statement. So you got a personal relationship with all of your guys. So did you have or will you have a sit down with Silver where you'll say, "Look, this is not going to fly"? And what was his reaction? What did he think of the way he handled himself?
At the press conference, he said, "I don't owe anybody an apology. I went out there and did the best I could, and sometimes, you know, you can't knock somebody out every time."
He apologized in the ring, though, didn't he?
I don't know.
I think he did right afterwards. But, I mean, the question is, obviously, the other guy would have gotten his ass kicked. Let's be honest. You know,
yep.
Anderson Silva was a much, much better fighter. But he was just being such a dick to him.
Yeah, it was insane, man. I've never seen anything like it. I've never been so disappointed in a guy who is clearly... Listen, my thing is, if you're that talented and you're that good, be Mike Tyson. And what I mean when I say that is, back in the days when Mike Tyson was fighting, I'd say to my buddies, "Hey, you want to stay home and watch the Tyson fight?" And people would be like, "Nah, you know Tyson's going to knock this guy out in 2 minutes."
Right.
I'd rather have people saying, you know, "Anderson Silva's too good, he's going to destroy this guy tonight, let's go," instead of saying, "No, I'm not going to buy this fight because this guy's a lunatic and, you know, does crazy stuff and doesn't fight."
Just the not fighting was one thing. The taunting was another thing, where the other guy was clearly outclassed, was clearly getting beaten, and then he was taunting him on top of it. You go, "Hey, listen, you don't have to be such a dick about it. Yeah, you are way better than he is, but, you know, he's trying. He's in there trying."
It was horrible. It was horrible. Yeah. All right. I agree. And listen, believe me when I tell you, no matter what, for the next 2 weeks, all anybody was Twittering about, emailing me about, was Anderson Silva.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, he's fighting again in August. And
let me know how that goes.
I put him against Chael Sonnen. And Chael Sonnen is a guy who's a great wrestler. He's going to go right after Anderson Silva. And, you know, this is going to be a guy who's going to really challenge him, impress him. So
you're going to put him with a guy who will force a fight. That
exactly.
will happen. No matter
a guy who can, you know, jiu-jitsu isn't the only part of his game.
Right.
And listen, any good striker knows, man, if you're in there with a wrestler and he gets you down and gets you against that fence, it's not a good night. So.
That's true.
This is the voice of our friend Dana White, the president of the UFC, on the line. We've been talking about UFC 113, Machida versus Shogun 2, which you can get on pay-per-view this Saturday night from Montreal. Hey, Dana, one benefit to your sport, and one of the reasons it has blown up so big, and the reason you love it and we love it, is that there's no shortage of great competitors. There are always matches out there that we want to see. That hasn't been the case in boxing in a long time. Until this past weekend, people got a fight they'd been looking for a long time. I just wondered, looking at it with the UFC eyes, if you watched that Mayweather fight and if you had any thoughts on it.
I went to it. I was there live. And,
oh, okay.
I'm a huge fight fan. People have this misconception about me that I hate boxing and I'm the guy trying to beat boxing. I love boxing. Boxing's the reason I'm here. I started in boxing, but boxing's in big trouble. And to be honest with you, this really wasn't the fight that everybody wanted
to
see this weekend.
No, this isn't the fight, but at least this was a fight that had some interest with two great fighters, though.
Absolutely.
You don't even get that anymore in boxing.
It's true. And the fight out there right now, and in my opinion, the most exciting fighter in boxing right now is Pacquiao.
I agree.
Every time you go to a Pacquiao fight, man, you know you're going to see a fight. Even in this last fight when he fought Claudia, and Claudia didn't throw any punches and just stood there, Pacquiao was pushing the pace of the fight, trying to make Claudia fight, putting his hands down so he'd make him punch. I think Manny Pacquiao is the most exciting thing in boxing right now.
Pacquiao threw 1,000 punches around, it seemed like. It was really crazy how much he pressed it. Do you think
it will just be, if this Pacquiao Mayweather fight doesn't happen. It's just boxing's in so much trouble and just hurting so bad. It's going to be another huge dent in boxing if it doesn't happen.
All right, let's change topics again. Let's go to Strikeforce and Mayhem Miller getting into the cage and that whole deal. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, first of all, these guys don't belong on CBS. They know it. CBS knows it. And that's what happens when you put a rinky-dink, show like that on. I mean, they let all these guys go into the cage after, and, listen, CBS and Showtime put this thing on to try to compete with us, and because, I'm honored, and flattered that we make it look that easy, that anybody can just buy a cage and get into the business. We've been in this business for 10 years, been around for a long time. We know what we're doing. They don't, bottom line.
And it was just unprofessional, like you said. I mean, it just didn't hold up to the standards that you have in your UFC fights.
Right.
How long will it be before you take the WEC under the UFC and it becomes one? Are you going to do that?
Everybody asks that.
Yeah, because it makes sense.
Right. I understand. But here's the thing you got to understand. The Versus Network and Comcast have been great partners to us. And the WEC has been very successful on their network. So I don't know. We'll see. We have a year deal with them, and we'll see what happens.
Okay.
UFC 113, Machida versus Shogun 2, is going to be Saturday night at the Bell Center, Montreal, Canada. And as we talked about earlier, they are not going to leave this one up to the judges. These guys.
And just so
are
you winning. Know, too,
yeah.
On that card,
yeah.
Koscheck is fighting Paul Daly. That's going to be an awesome fight. These two hate each other, and the winner of this fight will fight George St. Pierre. And Kimbo Slice is fighting Matt Mitrione. Which is the fight everybody's been waiting to see Kimbo in, a guy who's going to stand up and trade with him.
I got to tell you, you put together some good fights.
Thank you.
Good work. That's his job. Data, you're the best, man. We love you. We love your work. It's always great to have you on the Kevin Bean Show, man. Thanks for calling
in. Thank you guys so much, and thanks for the support. I appreciate it.
You bet. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 8:52.
Happy Cinco de Mayo, woo. Kevin and Bean.
Yeah, ding, ding, ding. Yeah.
I'm not having a live Cinco de Mayo.
What?
Party
we always do.
St. Patrick's Day got
a fairy.
Wrong one. St. Patrick's Day got a little out of hand, and we got in trouble.
Yeah. So we've been grounded.
There we go. That's what I'm looking for.
We've been grounded.
Right.
Ralph is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat. You keep promising us a Lady Gaga revelation. I hope this is the hour, Ralph.
Wow. You really got your Gaga on, don't you?
I'm just saying, I'm one of those guys, when you say, hey, come back in an hour four, I do. I come back in an hour, and I want
to
hear.
What do I have to say to make you go away for an hour?
That's a good point.
That's what I'd like to know. Tonight, Gaga, by the way, will be on the American Idol results show.
Where they stall for a full hour.
3 seconds of drama surrounded by 57 minutes of padding. And the padding tonight will be Lady Gaga performing live.
Do they still do that huge monster where they all get in a Ford car in the middle of it?
The commercials?
They sing a song?
Oh, yeah.
They still do that?
Yeah. They got all those commercials. And,
good times.
I'm off this year.
Which I'm
so
happy.
I really haven't been
happy about
following too closely. But last night apparently was Sinatra night. And
Sinatra?
You really haven't heard music until you hear some of the great songs of the legendary crooner Frank Sinatra being murdered by people who don't really sing that well.
So I don't
by
watch
17-year-olds who don't know those songs. They've never heard them before.
I think Harry Connick Jr. was the mentor last night. And tonight Gaga
like
will
him.
Be on to pad the result show. But the story about Gaga is that the internet was abuzz this week, as they say, that there was what some people were claiming was a leaked demo of Britney Spears singing the Lady Gaga song Telephone, which of course then became the epic length video starring her and Beyonce.
Right.
And then some people were saying, no, that's not Britney Spears. We can't tell who's singing it, blah, blah, blah. Well, it turns out it is Britney Spears. It has been confirmed. The producer, Darkchild Jerkins.
I'm sorry?
I want that name.
Rodney Darkchild Jerkins.
Oh, Rodney Jerkins. Okay. I never heard that nickname before.
Darkchild is his nickname.
Hmm. All right.
That's my nickname, too.
Confirmed that the demo is real. He offered Telephone to Britney first. She made a demo. She was considering using it on her Circus album. And then said, nah, the song's really not that good. And then...
Is that right?
Gaga took it and made a smash hit with it. So we've got some comparisons. First, we're going to play the Gaga version, the version you know. And then we'll play this new Britney Spears version that's all over the internet.
Don't stop, don't stop, don't stop, don't stop, don't stop, don't stop.
a huge fan of dance music, but man, she's good at that.
She does. She's, yeah.
Makes me want to shake my ass. That's a good thing, right?
I didn't like her until Kesha came along, and then I realized she's the goods.
You realize what a genius she is compared to Kesha.
Right.
Here's the Britney Spears demo version. Well,
sounds like it would have been the same song if she'd done it.
Although I don't think it sounded as good.
She just has
what was the demo?
Such a thin voice.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Even
Gaga.
With all the production laid on top of it, Gaga sounds like she's still singing the song.
Right.
This sounds like Madonna did it. You know,
anyone
take Madonna
done that.
And they just kind of slap all this stuff on top of her and make her sing.
Yeah, that's a lot of production value there.
So the mystery is solved. It is indeed Britney Spears. So now you know.
She passed. Good choice.
The Kardashian clan has something in common. In Touch magazine reveals, and I did not know this, but the entire family has had nose jobs.
Together?
Really?
The same day?
Kim, Khloe, Courtney have all had their noses done.
How about that?
I didn't know that. I'm guessing Chris has too, then, because she's got the same nose as her daughters.
It's not surprising.
The only one in the family apparently who hasn't had any plastic surgery is Bruce Jenner. Oh, wait a minute.
He's unrecognizable.
He's the mannequin formerly known as Bruce Jenner.
He does look like a woman who has had plastic surgery to look like Bruce Jenner.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, you're such a girl.
See Glee last night?
Yes.
That was pretty spectacular.
I saw part of it. I only watched through when the kid in the wheelchair did You Can't Touch This.
How freaking awesome is that?
Pretty good.
It was pretty much dedicated to one-hit wonders last night.
It was the strangest show in Glee's history, right?
Yeah, but so much damn fun. They had
how do you
Run
put
Joey
on
Run, which nobody remembers. Which
nobody
was,
knows that
sort
song.
Of a novelty song from the 70s, which was an odd choice. Can't Touch This.
Right.
What else did they
do? Ice Baby.
Ice Ice Baby. Yeah.
And then Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Total Eclipse of the Heart. And then Living Dun John stopped by to make a video with Sue Sylvester for her hit song Physical. It was very strange.
That's a terrible song, that Physical, by the way.
Yet wildly enjoyable.
Omar is texting madly from Studio
Q. I see what he's texting.
We can't even say it.
I reject you totally, sir.
He's very angry that we're talking about this.
I'm secure in my masculinity and my heterosexuality, I'll have you know, and I enjoy the show enormously.
We can't even pronounce that word with all those F's and G's in it, Omar. I'm sorry.
Anyway, the reason I bring it up is because apparently romance has sprung on the set of Glee.
Is that right?
Ooh. Yeah. Mark Salling, who plays Tuck on the show, Puck. What's
Puck.
His name?
Puck.
Puck. Puck. Right. The kid with the mohawk.
Yeah, the mohawk. The punk with the mohawk.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He is wildly head over heels in love with Naya Riviera, who is the dark-haired Cheerio, who's also in the Glee Club.
Yes.
That Latina-looking, smoking hot broad who offered to take the virginity away from the quarterback 2 weeks ago.
Santana. That's her name, Santana.
Right. Okay, all
take
right.
Take it easy, Bean.
I just want to make sure I know the girl we're talking about. She's way hot.
I don't have all the trading cards, Bean. I'm sorry.
The level of excitement there went a little high for us.
Oh, Santana!
I do love her, and I love that she's always in her cheerleader outfit.
All right, take it easy.
Omar might be right.
Stop it.
Anyway, yes, apparently they're hot and heavy these days.
All right. What could go wrong there?
Rumors persist that Matthew Morrison and Lea Michele are together, but they keep... Stop it. But they keep denying those facts, so we're not...
You shouldn't date your students if you're a teacher. That'd be wrong, I think.
You guys watch Kendra, the reality show? Kendra Wilkinson?
No.
Hugh Hefner's former flame who went on to marry wide receiver Hank Baskett?
No.
Formerly of the Philadelphia Eagles, who went to the Indianapolis Colts, and now is back with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Am I missing a good show or no?
Sounds no,
good.
No.
But you know what you are missing?
Oh, my, Kendra, you do have a terrific vagina.
What are we missing, Ralph?
Hopefully you won't be missing it for long. A secret sex video featuring Kendra Wilkinson Basket surfaced. Apparently, these days, you know, she is a mom, and she tries to portray herself as being fairly wholesome on her reality show. But her wild past has come back to haunt her, according to OK Magazine. And Kendra is desperately waging a legal battle trying to keep the video from going public. And I say, come on, public. You fight hard.
Fight hard against that,
come on, that legal battle, because we all want to see it. Because she's... can it be a silent movie?
Yeah.
Can that be?
Yeah, it's going to be bad.
I can't hear. I can't listen.
You have to turn it down.
Yeah,
she's
would have
down.
To be sound down.
How does a video like that get out if it's a... I mean, this isn't from, you know, she had a boyfriend that now has turned it in because she's famous. I mean, this is from her husband, somebody that she's only been with for a couple of years, right?
The video's with Hank Basket? I didn't know that.
Oh, I thought that's what you said. I'm sorry if that wasn't the case.
No, this is... They say her wild past is coming back to haunt her, so
okay.
I'm assuming this is with one of the... hundreds of guys she slept with in her life.
Allegedly.
I'm just speculating here, but...
Santana!
oh, Santana!
I just said maybe you're too excited about knowing that answer.
Santana! Today's celebrity birthdays. Lance Henriksen is 70 years old
from
today.
NSYNC. He was good.
No, that's Lance Bass. Lance Henriksen. Lance Henriksen was from Millennium and
Tour
Aliens.
Tour de France, right.
Not the Tour de France. Lance Armstrong.
Continue file.
Oh. This is the longest clip ever in the file.
Yep.
I am very giddy right now. Once again, I've mismanaged my pneumonia medication.
Good times.
Yeah. Michael Palin from Monty Python is 67 years old today. John Rhys-Davies.
Could have been the Vice President of the United States.
Wow.
Sarah Palin he's talking about. John Rhys-Davies, who played Sala in the Indiana Jones movie. 66 years old today. Drummer Bill Ward of Black Sabbath.
Wow!
Turned 62 years old today. Ian McCullough of Echo and the Bunnymen is 51. Tina Yothers, who played Jennifer Keaton on Family Ties,
sure.
is 37 years old today.
Sure.
Danielle Fishel from Boy Meets World and from The Dish is 29. Adele celebrates her 22nd birthday, and Chris Brown is 21 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
In retrospect, I think Mr. Weatherby was very pleased with today's Cinco de Mayo blowout party machine that we did on the Kevin and Bean show.
We didn't do any of that.
I think it was everything that he looks for in a live broadcast, don't you?
Didn't do any of that.
I do think. That's the problem. Yeah. I think this was everything he looks for in a live broadcast. Which is
just not being live.
Dull.
How dare you? I stand by today's show. But it didn't exactly bring the Mexican home. That's all I'm saying. It wasn't exactly Cinco de Mayo heavy as it might have been.
We didn't
do
too much Cinco de Mayo.
Right.
That's
my
what
point.
We're saying.
I kind of missed it.
Didn't overdo it.
I feel a little bit more Mexican after today's show, quite frankly. I think we hit it hard. And I'm proud of the work we've done.
All right. Time for one more showbiz beat. Here's L. Ralph Garman.
Congratulations to Bruce Springsteen.
For
being in the New Jersey Hall of Fame. He and the other guy will be very happy together. No, actually, Springsteen's been a founding member of that Hall of Fame for some time, and he inducted his good buddy Danny DeVito Sunday night into the New Jersey Hall of Fame.
Does each state have their own Hall of Fame?
I do not believe so.
Just New Jersey.
Jersey does. They're very proud of their Jerseyites. And Danny DeVito was inducted, and Bruce Springsteen showed up to induct him.
Wow.
Now, is... DeVito, who's had a very long, successful acting, directing, and producing career, did he get into the New Jersey Hall of Fame before or after Snooki? Do we know?
I think he was inducted at the same time. I think Snooki went in the same time as he did.
Okay.
The Boss and Danny DeVito sang a duet of Bruce's song Glory Days at the event.
That cannot have been good.
That could not have been good unless DeVito was loaded on limoncello. And in that case, it probably was pretty entertaining. But... Danny DeVito and Bruce Springsteen are buddies. How does that work?
That's
how does
odd.
That hang out?
That is bizarre.
Happen just because they're from the same state?
I don't know.
I'm from Philadelphia. Will Smith and I don't go doing duets of Miami.
Well, both of them are famous.
Yeah, that's my point.
You're not really.
Will's not calling me up, man.
He's Will Smith, and you're
Bill Cosby. Doesn't stop by the house,
right?
Say, here's some Jell-O pudding for you, my fellow Philadelphian friend. Never says that.
Yeah.
However, he did roofie me once to take advantage of me.
Is that right?
Cosby.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right.
It's very odd. Kevin, you'll be happy to know. It's just been announced that Neil Young is doing another album.
Yes.
Boy, does he suck. That guy sings.
By suck, you mean is awesome.
Oh, his voice is terrible.
Look, it frightens me when I agree with Kevin.
Come on now.
Neil Young's genius is lost on me.
Maybe he writes good songs. I don't know. I can't get past that annoying
voice.
Well,
it's his lyrical content,
okay,
Kevin.
Well,
I mean,
right.
Come on. Hey, hey, my, rock and roll will never die. What is he, five?
You don't need a great voice to be a rock and roll singer. Let's face it. Bruce Springsteen doesn't have a great voice, but makes great records. And I think Neil Young is the same.
Nope. Neil Young makes Bruce Springsteen look like Placido Domingo.
He's terrible, Neil Young. Terrible.
Hey, hey, my. Really? That's what, that you sat down and wrote that?
Stop it. There's anyway. A lot more to that song than just the chorus.
There isn't.
That's a great song.
That's not a good song at all.
Stop it.
Anyway, he's working with Bob Dylan on the album. They're going to work together.
That'll okay. can we talk to them both tomorrow?
There's amazing vocal chords. Yes.
Juggernaut of those two singing together. Juggernaut. You too was also
what?
Appearing on the album, oddly enough. But, yeah, apparently everyone in the show business wants to work with this guy.
Wow.
And I know you're a fan, Kevin. So
they all respect him, right?
Hugely
everyone
amount.
Does. All
a huge amount.
Hmm. Too much.
Vedder is like sits at his altar, just worships at the altar.
I mean,
Neil Young.
He was certainly, you know, he had a little bit of a career resurgence. You know, he was considered the grandfather of grunge and all those guys. Just as Ralph pointed out, they just loved him back in the 90s. And, you know, he's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I mean, the guy's got 40 years of phenomenal work behind him. He's a great writer, great guitarist.
Yes.
That was a great writer,
great guitarist. Let's get to the singing. He blows.
He has an acquired voice. It's not for everyone. It's an acquired taste.
Not for anyone.
That was a misunderstanding, though, when they said he was the grandfather of grunge. He was really the grandfather of splooge.
Wow.
It's a very different honor.
Send that to floor 13 for analysis. I don't even know if that one goes in the file. I can't tell.
Yeah.
Psycho Mike, you got my back that Neil Young is God, right?
Totally. I understand where Ralph and Kevin are coming from because he does have an unorthodox singing style.
You guys love him. All right. You love his lyrics. You love his songs.
Yeah. I love his records.
His singing voice blows.
It is not. He's not a classically good singer.
The needle and the damage.
But I think with the
my taint sings better than him.
But his
you're talking about
voice.
Carl Metaint, the opera singer,
that's
right?
Yes, of course.
Yeah. But his voice works on those songs,
that's
though.
Exactly.
It sounds good on those songs.
Nope.
If he was
the lead singer of Incubus, he would suck. He would be terrible. But the lyrical content, the type of stuff he writes about, the kind of edgier, dark topic nature, it really sounds good with it, I think.
But why? Yeah, I'd rather die.
But that isn't his voice, though. It can't be his voice. That's got to be a put-on.
When he sings like that,
that's not him singing.
I agree. But there are a lot of unusual voices like that. I mean, look at Rush, a band you like, Ralph, that's been around for 30 years. Geddy Lee, a lot of people could argue, has a terrible voice because it's
awesome
so
voice.
High, but it works for Rush. If you couldn't listen to that and think that most people would enjoy his voice,
is
but you like the band.
Is anybody buying this polished turd?
No. I mean, what's the difference between you love Rush but hate Neil Young? They both have very, very difficult voices to listen to.
The difference is that Neil Young blows.
I think that would be the difference, yeah. I can't believe we're having the Neil Young debate.
I know.
What was the point? I even lost the thread of what this car. Oh, he's got a new
Everyone's
record coming out.
This
That's
he's working on a new album. And everyone is very excited, and people are clamoring to try to collaborate with him on the record, which I said I find fascinating.
That's going
to
suck.
Bret Michaels is out of the hospital.
Wow.
Poison frontman was recovering, of course, from a brain hemorrhage last week, but he's out already. Doctors expect Bret to make a full recovery, but they've asked him to rest for at least 4 to 6 weeks before going back on the road and dying on stage. I guess they want to get their bets in or something in the Deadpool before he goes out.
There's going to be a lot of blame to go around when he collapses and dies on the first night of the tour, isn't there?
Seems like you may want to take a longer rest than just 4 weeks after your brain has stopped bleeding.
Yeah, that seems bad.
Heidi Montag's a mess.
Yeah.
In Touch magazine says that her behavior is getting more and more bizarre since her 10 plastic surgeries in one day.
She's getting desperate, it seems like, right?
Friends of Heidi's say that her speech is slurred. She's acting strangely. She's having massive mood swings. They suspect she is taking painkillers on a regular basis that she became addicted to after the surgeries.
Well, when you have 10 in one day, it seems like maybe you're going to have a little pain.
Probably need something more than a Midol to get through it.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Is she starting to sound like Neil Young?
Yes.
Not that bad.
Spencer
yet.
Pratt apparently also is acting strange. In Touch magazine says he has told friends he thinks spy planes are watching him.
What?
Yes. He has begun using crystals for their healing powers.
Awesome.
And 2 weeks ago, he told friends apparently that he was born again recently.
That's great.
Yeah. I would like him just to die one more time that he's born, and then we'll all be happy. And Spider-Man came to the rescue this week. I don't know if you guys know or not, but
May 1st every year is Free Comic Book Day in the comic book community.
Not aware of that. No.
If you go to your local comic book shop on May 1st, they have special editions of comic books that they give out for free to try to encourage kids especially to join in the fun of reading comic books. Well, May 1st came around this year, and a guy tried to rip off a comic book store.
That was giving away free comics?
Yes. He showed up at the comic store and tried to hold up the comic book store. Well, it turns out a guy dressed as Spider-Man was in the comic book store.
Of course he was.
Wow.
chased after the thief with some help from some Jedi Knights who were also in the store.
This story cannot possibly be true.
And they tackled him and held him until police showed up.
So I want video.
Spider-Man foils would-be thief is the headline.
Oh, that guy's so happy today.
Oh, can you imagine him actually stopping a crime dressed as Spider-Man?
Oh, he's so
thrilled. Got an erection that will never go away.
Yep.
That's a scary thought. Today's celebrity birthdays, Lance Henriksen from Millennium and Aliens is 70. Michael Palin is 67. John Rhys-Davies, very talented British actor, is 66. Dead Tina Yothers from Family
Did you say Gosh, dead Tina
dead.
Yothers?
Not dead.
Not dead. I was thinking about Lisa's mom for a minute.
Oh.
Tina Yothers.
She's also not dead.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood your commercial earlier.
Might have been Kevin's fault.
Tina Yothers is 37 years old today. Danielle Fishel from Boy Meets World and The Dish is 29. Adele is 22 years old, and Chris Brown turns 21 years old today.
I'm Ralph Garman. That's the showbiz beat.
I wish that was not accurate. I wish you were just joking with that.
I was too good, actually.
Yeah, that was too good.
It was too melodic.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, we have an all-new program. We have just endless thanks for that info, Bean. He's been on fire. This is all the stuff that he says. While we're playing music or commercials, you hear that. We hear Bean's conversation.
Yeah. I like to stay current.
I can't keep up. Sometimes I tell him, slow down. I can't write that fast. We need a stenographer to come in here.
He's a Gatling gun of minutia.
Meaningless minutia, yes. Unusual fears tomorrow. Kylie Minogue is afraid of hangers.
Yes, she is. Clothes hangers.
What?
Yes. She doesn't have a hanger in her house. She just lays her clothes out in rooms.
She's got her own room to lay her clothes out.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
She walks around looking at her clothes on the floor.
How does that happen? I don't know. She got attacked by a hanger when she was a kid. What?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hanger molested her.
So, unusual fears tomorrow. Lisa will continue to tell us how her mom is dead. That's going to be fun.
Oh, I'm sorry, Lisa. I'm sorry for your loss.
We're so sorry, Lisa.
Petros Papadakis,
who is some flowers.
Who is scheduled today, will be here tomorrow.
Ask him. You're not welcoming him back, are you? After you stood us up?
He's coming back tomorrow. He's a good guy.
You are the beaten wife who goes back to her husband.
I'm Charlie Brown, aren't I?
You are.
Kevin Smith will be here tomorrow. He's the best, by the way.
Yeah, he is.
When Ralph was going through some of his troubles, Kevin called up and said, I want to come in and help any way I can.
Yeah. He was great.
Just a genuinely good guy, and he's going to be here. And we'll probably keep him all morning because he likes to talk, that Kevin Smith, and we like to listen to him. And the host of The Amazing Race, they are having their finale. It is a great show this year. Phil Kogan will be on the program tomorrow as well on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Don't go away. Kat Corbett's up next. She's got 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock. I can't guarantee she'll be playing some Neil Young, but I know she would if she could. Also some Phoenix, got Muse, Killers, Bush, Smashing Pumpkins, and more straight ahead after this on K-Rock.